జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నితిల్లా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనందగొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురిధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేషూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలిదాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలి స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ హితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీతి నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానువిదేవి దైతాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపనూగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయతే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియాః వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యాశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్త్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌపాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వపదాంభోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమద్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధ శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి రాసరసారంభీ వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోభిర్గోవినాథాశ్రియేస్తునా తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you remember where we stopped 2 weeks ago on the Sunday, if you are reading Bhagavad Gita regularly, I'm sure you will remember. But if you hear and leave it, then what can we do? Anyway, going back to the little bit to where we stopped last time, there you have seen some important verses in that chapter. Krishna says there, all Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle topic that is discussed. Only when you understand the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita, you will see there that the how gross we are. We will realize it at that time, how gross we are. Because Krishna is saying that in that verse in the 11th, in fact, generally, if you ask Krishna a question, he won't give you a direct answer. It is an established fact. Never Krishna gives a direct answer to any question. Throughout Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Krishna's always answer is indirect. That is the way Krishna is. You will see when we come to Bhagavatam, going back to Bhagavatam again, we have finished the 19th chapter in the 11th canto. We have three more chapters before the Bhikshu Gita begins, which is the story of the Avanti Brahmana, who had a long history. Krishna had to talk about that during his school days while he was in Avanti. This incident happened. Many scholars are saying that this incident happened while he was at school for 2 or 3 months. Krishna went to school as well. He didn't have to go like us 12 years. He had finished with his 2 months, everything. And those 2 months, what happened, that he witnessed this incident with that Brahmana. Krishna kept that, and while talking to Uddhava at the very late part of his time in this world, when he was 125 years old, when he spoke to Uddhava, he brought that story back, what happened in his school days with this Avanti Brahmana. That is Bhikshu Gita. It's a famous part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There, prior to that, and between the 19th chapter, you will see another three chapters, 20, 21, and 22. So there, Krishna has spoken, some questions Uddhava has asked. And if you see the questions Uddhava has asked and the way Krishna has answered, you will think as there is no connection between the two. Absolutely no connection. It looks like that. So, what you'll understand is, when you start studying it seriously, you will notice the subtlety with which Krishna has answered the question. That's the beauty of that. The subtle side of spiritual life, Krishna brings it up in such a way that makes Uddhava to think a lot before he comes to terms with that answer what Krishna has given. This is why you will see that in the beginning, earlier also, if you'll notice in the 12th chapter, Uddhava asks some question, Krishna is answering something else. And you start wondering what is the connection between the two. So there are so many things in the spiritual life itself. We say whole thing is a subtle science. As we understand the subtlety of the spiritual life, we enjoy the beauty of the spiritual life and the reality behind it. Material life is a gross thing. There is not much meaning to all this, except feeding the body, eating, sleeping, and all the other activities associated with the body. What meaning has it got? As far as spiritual point of view is concerned, the body itself is not real. It is something that has been put on us by the material nature, which it will take off when the time is due. That is death, what we call as the death. In fact, the body has been thrown on us and body will be taken back from us. And who are we then? That is the question coming back again and again, isn't it? That's why when we go into the moment we are realized our identity, you will see that this body itself is a unnecessary, unwanted thing that has been put on us and given an opportunity within that body to realize the truth. That's all it is. And Krishna answers that in those chapters, in the 20th, 21st chapters, that's the answer. We have to discuss that because it's a very interesting topic in the Bhagavadam, and it will also make us aware what is the Ekadasha Skandam's beauty, the knowledge of the Arjuna. If Arjuna was satisfied with Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava was satisfied with Ekadasha Skandam. That's the beauty there. So before going back to that, it is the same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna is saying here, Avajanandi ma mudha. We'll go back to that verse. That is 11th one. Avajanandi ma mudha manushim tanum ashridam param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. That is where what we were discussing last time. Krishna is saying here that if you think that I'm like you doing all the vyavaharam in this world. We are doing vyavaharam here, isn't it? Vyavaharam means, you know, the material transactions in this world. Like Krishna came here, Krishna was fighting the war, participated in the Mahabharata war. Krishna was involved in marrying so many people. So many girls Krishna has married. And Krishna ruled a kingdom. Krishna has a big family life. When we observe all these things, people start thinking, Krishna is also like us, but only doing in a big scale. That's what we'll think about Krishna, isn't it? And that's what Krishna wants to say to us here. Avajanandi, avajnam paribhavam kurvandi, ma mudha avivegino manushim manushya sambandinim tanum deham ashradam, manushya dehene vivaharandam iti etat. Param prakrishtam bhavam, paramatma tattvam akashakalpam, akashat abhi andaratamam, ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram, sarva bhutana mahandam ishwaram, swam almanam. Those who think about, Krishna says here, avajanan, those who think about me, that I have got a body like them, and those who think that I am doing the same things what everybody else is doing here, they are very ignorant, Krishna says. They are very ignorant. It's not a boasting. It is speaking from the platform of the soul. We are operating from the bodily level, isn't it? With the bodily identity. Krishna is operating with the spiritual identity. In other words, without identification with the body, able to operate in this world and appears as though like everybody else is functioning here. As I said, he came here, he had a childhood like all of us. He had been grown up in Vrindavanam and in Mathura later. Then he killed Kamsa and installed Ugrasena as the king, went to Dwaraka, and then there was a Dwaraka pastimes there, various things happened, and participated in the Mahabharata war, and at the same time killed many other people like Jarasandha, Shishubala, many others got killed. So many people got killed. If you look at it from a historic point of view, you'll start thinking that Krishna was doing in a big scale everything, like a very powerful personality, he was going and doing all that. What Krishna wants to say to us is that my activities, your activities are totally different. They're completely different. We are doing according to our vasanas inside. We act in this world. We are controlled by the three modes of material nature. And there is enough avidya inside. This is our situation. Lot of vasanas, three modes of material nature and the avidya in us. It is within this framework we are operating in this world. Krishna is saying, because he is not controlled by the three modes of material nature, because he has not accepted the body like us under the laws of karma, because he is completely situated on the platform of the soul, in other words, purely knowledge, all his activities has no relationship like the way we interpret about that. That's the point he's making here. And those people, they are thinking that I have accepted a body. And they are thinking that I am engaged in all these transactions, and they are ignorant. They never understand me, Krishna says. They never understand me because I am, my situation is like the sky. What is the comparison with the sky? Sky is present everywhere, isn't it? There's no space. There's no place where there's no space. Space is everywhere, isn't it? That's me, Krishna is saying. It is every realized soul is in that state, present everywhere. That is a realized state means you're present everywhere. You're not limited to the just one body. That's not realization. That is when you are in ignorant state, avidya state, you are limited to one body. In realized state, you are present everywhere. To prove to that point, in the Bhagavatam, what did they say? Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. About Shukha Brahma, she said that, isn't it? You'll see that with Jadabharata, it's the same, Dattatreya is the same. That they are present everywhere. They know what is going on in all the space everywhere. That state, Krishna is saying similarly here, that they don't understand me because when the difference is, unlike Jadabharata and Shukha Brahma Rishi and Dattatreya Maharshi and Rishabhadeva and others, the difference with Krishna is, in staying in that state, he was able to do everything like ordinary people do. He conducted the wars. He fought with people. He married many, many girls. And he had children. But still always in that state. That is the difference. Always in that state. So, tatachaha, tasya mama avajnana bhavanena ahata varagate katham. Because they have not understood this situation about me, Krishna is saying, they are very unfortunate people because they don't understand me. That is why, if you remember, Uddhava said this to, Uddhava understood Krishna's state. Krishna says that, Hari Meena Ivo Dubam. They thought that even Yadavas who were with Krishna here, they didn't understand Krishna. Because it requires the spiritual vision and self-realization to know what is Krishna. So, we have looked at that, we saw about that verse in detail before. After that, we have seen the next verse. Mokhasha mokha karmano mokha jnana vichetasa rakshasi masurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shridaha. That is the verse we were started last time when we last that verse, isn't it? So, mokhasha mokha karmano mokha jnana vichetasa. Krishna is saying about those people who have not understood Krishna's identity, says mokhasha. Mokhasha means vritha asha ashisho yesham te mokhashaha. Tatha mokha karmano yani cha agnihotradini tai anushtiya manani karmani tani cha tesham bhagavad paribhavat swatmabhudasya avajnana nishphalani karmani bhavandi iti mokha karmanaha. Krishna says that mokhasha means a lot of desires in the mind, various things. Very difficult to get rid of them from inside, isn't it? These desires. Desires keep coming one after the other. And especially when these desires come, what happens? Chittavritti develops inside. Thought waves comes. More and more it develops. So, mokhasha means unnecessarily retaining desires inside. Unnecessarily maintaining or retaining desires inside. A lot of desires. We may say that we don't have any desires, but it is very difficult to judge that in a person. Desires do come. Suddenly desires builds up. As soon as it comes to our body, as soon as it comes to our relations, family and all that, there's a lot of desire still that doesn't wipe away easily. It is not easy to cut it off. To come to say to that, if that desires have completely gone, Krishna's point is this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita will automatically manifest from within. If the desires are gone. Because the desires are there, the knowledge what is inside, because the soul is present, full of knowledge, isn't it? So that knowledge is not manifesting because of the desires. That's what Krishna is saying. Mokhasha mokha karmanam. And what else is there? Karma. Mokha karma. Mokha karma means simply busy in this world with one thing or the other. For, and from the Vedic point of view, even there are karma prescribed for from the smriti. Now, important thing. Shruti and smriti. Two things, isn't it? Shruti and smriti. Shruti is the direct instructions.
to bring those instructions in practical life, there is Smriti. That is what Smriti does. Shruti, Smriti, Puranana, Malayam, Karunalayam. So, Shruti and Smriti, that is generally Vedic way of life, is based on these two, Shruti and Smriti. There are many people who don't accept Smriti. They don't accept Smriti. Because problem with Smriti is, it is like a set of rules given to us based on the Shruti. It's based on the Shruti, Smriti has been made. But unlike Shruti, Smriti is subject to time and circumstances. You can see that problem. If you take Manusmriti and read it now, you won't find any relevance to the world today, what we live in. You see? Whereas knowledge of the Shruti doesn't change. What was then is equally true today. We are spirit soul. Self-realization is the goal. And the knowledge of the soul, all these things doesn't change. That's eternal knowledge it is. You can't change it. It's forever. Whereas in Smriti, there are so many things mentioned. Based on the Shruti, because they are saying that Smriti will help to elevate a person in the path of spiritual life. But Smriti is not possible to follow rigorously due to change in circumstances in the world and time and place and all that. So Shruti and Smriti create this division. But Krishna says here, the karmam, so this Agnihotram and other karmam, what is prescribed for the Brahmanas, and similarly karmam that is prescribed for the Kshatriyas. There are number of things mentioned there, isn't it? Starting from Garbhadanam. Garbhadanam means before pregnancy, impregnating the wife with the child. That beginning from there, even before conception, it begins, Garbhadanam. Garbhadanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, it goes on. There's about 47 different samskaras are mentioned in the Shastram for the man and woman to perform together so that the householder life will be happy and purposeful. But due to circumstances, it is not happening. It's not happening anymore because we have, on the one hand, we have been driven by the modern science and they tell us something different and people are also affected by all that. So, if you look into the Smriti and see the injunctions there, you will wonder that how is it possible to bring all that. And Krishna is also saying the same thing here. Mokhasha mokha karmana. Mokha karmana means that a lot of karma you are performing based on the Smriti, but you are missing the point of self-realization. Without self-realization, simply doing Agnihotram is no good. What is the use? Agnihotram means that in the olden days, in the house of the Brahmanas, they used to keep a fire burning. And that fire, there are some 10, 12 generations it's been burning in some houses. It's been still continue to grow. Those have retained their culture that way. And it is, our idea is, That fire that's burning, it is using that fire, they have to perform all their ritualistic duties throughout the Brahmanas have a lot of rituals to perform. And finally, when they die, they take the fire from this fire that's burning to set fire to their body when it dies. So, for a person who has performed Agnihotram, that is the system. So, Krishna is saying here, even that Agnihotram also is mokha karmam, if it is not taking you to spiritual realization. Ultimately, goal is realizing the self, not the body. Body and life next after this life, the next birth, death, all these things are not even considered seriously by Krishna's point of view. Krishna gives importance, the human body I have given for self-realization. If you don't take advantage, you have lost it. The chance is gone. Nirdeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam mayani kulena nabhaswateridam puman. Krishna says that nathareitsa almaha. Krishna says everyone in this world is committing suicide as far as Krishna is concerned. Generally we say some people have committed suicide. We read in the paper, he said somebody committed suicide and we said something has gone wrong with him. Either some disturbances inside the mind or that. But Krishna is saying, we are all committing suicide actually. Because having given a body for realizing the self, if you don't utilize it, he says, the body has only one purpose, to realize the truth. If it didn't happen in this life, and if you don't come out of this bodily identity and come to the spiritual identity, you have lost it. You committed suicide, Krishna is saying. Nadehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham. It's in the Bhagavadam, Krishna says to Uddhava. Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. My anukulena napasuderidam. Uman nataretsa almaha. That's how he puts it. So, it's always staying in that spiritual platform Krishna is speaking. He doesn't want to talk about our regular life in this world. So, social life or other rituals what we perform, these things are of no significance to Krishna. In Krishna's words, he doesn't care any of those things. You will see this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. His stress is, you got a human life, realize yourself now. If you have not got it, you lost it. That's all. The message is as clear as that. That spiritual life and self-realization, coming out of this body, coming back to our original identity, what we are as spirit soul, that is the prime importance. It is based on that these verses are spoken. Mokhasha mokha karmano mokha jnana vichedasa. So, because these things like Agnihotram, Agnishtomam, Vajabhayana, so many things which the Brahmanas engage in, if they are all not helping you to realize the truth, they are also a waste of time. That's the purport. If all the samskarams, suppose some people are very particular about samskaras, isn't it? Sometimes you see some people, they give importance to all these things very much. They think if I do samskaras, by samskaram you won't get to the goal. Samskaram is only helping you to realize the truth. That's all. But if you are not given importance to the truth, if you look Krishna's instructions everywhere, you will see one interesting thing. He will say so many things, but ultimately he will come and tie it up with the self-realization, with the goal. Because for him, that is what matters, not the samskaras. Samskaras are there, it may help you, but suddenly introducing samskaras, but if you don't have the goal in there, the samskaras are of no use. That is what the point Krishna is making here. Mokhasha mokha karmanam mokha jnana vichedasa rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shruta. So he says here that such karmam, even though they are prescribed in the shastram, that it, because you are not realizing the truth, therefore it will become vyartha karmam. It will be a waste of time. That's his point. You will see this part is very much connected with Bhagavadam in that way. Uddhava also asked a question. You know, in this world there are different types of people. Some people are very particular about rules and regulations, isn't it? You will observe that. Some people are very much into it, rules and regulations. They like to follow all rules, all regulations very strictly. Some people are, they will even say they are breaking the fast on Ekadashi day, they will make sure that it is between the correct 8 hours, 21 minutes, or somebody will say like that, and they have to break the fast in that. Everything, they want to make it so specific and precise in everything what they do. That is also not good. That's not good. Because although these things are there, if your mind gets involved in all that, Krishna's point is, you are missing the point. They are not there to control your life and to make you a militant like nature. That's no use. Realizing the truth is important, but so that is one type of vidhi nishedham. It's called in the Bhagavadam vidhi nishedham. Vidhi nishedham. Do's and don'ts, isn't it? Similarly, you will also see there are other people who study Vedantam and everything, and then they stop going to the temple because they say, I'm spirit soul, I don't have to go, I'll sleep all the time. And won't get up in the morning, won't chant anything, because I am spirit soul, why do I have to chant? That type of people. You'll see that also. Another class of people who does not follow any sadhana, who does not perform any discipline in life, they live their own life. You'll see that kind of people also, because they are saying, we have understood everything what Krishna is saying. So Krishna is saying, I'm not this body, fine, I'm not the body. So what? So why do I have to care? I can do what I like. This attitude. Both are wrong, equally wrong. Both are wrong. That is why when Uddhava is asking the questions to Krishna about it, Krishna didn't discuss that aspect of it. Started talking about the yoga process, how yoga processes work. We'll come to that later in the Bhagavad Gita. So, here also, in the same way, Krishna is saying here, Tatha, Mokha jnana nishphala jnanam jnanam abhitesham nishphalam evasyal vijedaso vigata vivekaha chate bhavandi iti abhiprayaha. In other words, that this person who who is engaged in mokha karma. Mokha karma means useless activities. I'll give you some examples of that. That is what this verse is referring to. That some people, they'll go to the temple and they will, to a certain extent, they will attend programs and all that in the temple. And then after that they feel that business is over. And then they'll go and do all sorts of things in this world. And they think that they are making spiritual advancement. No, Krishna's point is that that doesn't help. Because mokhasham mokha karmanam. Mokhasha is there still and their activities is mokha karma. Therefore, realization is difficult. And plus, mokha jnana vichedasa. What is mokha jnana vichedasa means? Mokha jnana vichedasa means that spiritual knowledge is not operating inside the person. The spiritual knowledge. If it is not spiritually working inside, the system is not functioning. Body may be doing something. Mind may be doing something. But that spiritual activity, what has to happen inside, in other words, the realization of the self associated with this world, how it operates within us, that requires a completely overhaul inside the person. And that needs that jnana, or knowledge inside. That is what Krishna is referring to here. Mokha jnana vichedasa means, knowledge is not there, they are doing things what the world tells them to do. Like, people think that if I go to temple every day, I'm doing my spiritual life. Isn't it? People think like that. Also, and then rest of the time they are doing something else, which has nothing to do with spiritual life. And they're feeling that I'm okay, I'm doing the right thing. No, you're not. That's not the point Krishna is making here. Mokha jnana vichedasa. There is no knowledge working inside. What is the use? You see, spiritual life, once you come to it, then you have to go full steam with it. Otherwise, it's not going to help very much. Simply following certain rules and regulations, simply just because we are attending temples, temple programs, that is insufficient. That's the point. Because these verses are directed towards those people who are in that state. Mokhasha, mokha karmanam, mokha jnana vichedasa. People do not know which direction to go further. So they are stuck in one place and they are doing things what everybody else is doing, thinking that that will suffice, but that's not. So he says here, Tatha mokha jnanam nishphala jnanam, that they don't have any knowledge, and even if they have something, it's waste of time, he says. Nishphala jnanam, jnana jnanam abhitesham nishphalam evasyal, because even if he has some knowledge from the Shastram, that is also a waste of time, he says. Also a waste of time. Kim chate bhavandi? What is the reason that it has happened to them like that? Rakshasim rakshasam prakritim svabhavam, asurim asuranam cha prakritim mohinim, mohagarim dehaatma vadinim shritaha ashritaha, chindi bindi piba khada parasvam abhara idi evam vadana shilaha kukrura karmano bhavandi ityartha Asurya namate lokaha iti shutehe. Ishopanishad says this. It says here, the reason for them becoming like that is, you will see many people like that, isn't it? They think that if an hour or two in the morning I can keep it for spiritual life, remaining time I have all my desires and duties and other things in this world to do, and I will go slowly. I'm not in a rush to get to the spiritual world. Let it take its own time. In this way thinking. People are like that, isn't it? So what will happen to them? Krishna says here that they by nature itself, they are rakshasas and asuras. They have inside that svabhavam. That svabhavam is rakshasim asurim, he says. We won't know that. Externally they may look human and all that. But inside that Rakshasa Swabhavam, Asura Swabhavam, Asuric nature and Rakshasic nature has not left them. That's the point. Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shridaha.
So he says here, and the main problem with them is that they identify with the body as the soul.
That's where it's coming from.
Because they, why some, anyone who identifies with the body as the soul, he is a Rakshasa or he is an Asura.
That is the definition Krishna gives for Rakshasa.
We think that Rakshasa means one who has got big mustache and eyes, big eyes, like Ravana we project about. Do you think that is Rakshasa? No. Rakshasa is based on the subtle body. If in your subtle body you are still identifying with the gross body and you are trying to maintain the body all the time, then you are still a Rakshasa. You have not come out of the Rakshasic nature or Asuric nature. They still remain. That hasn't left us. That's the point Krishna is making here. That because main problem they have is that they are identifying with the body instead of the soul. So they can engage in killing each other, fighting with each other, and also eating well and feeling happy, all things like that. You know how it is, isn't it? When somebody is in their Rakshasic nature, wants to enjoy, eat well and enjoy life, and also if in his own way, if he doesn't get his way through, then he's willing to fight. Cruel nature, in other words, wants to get his way through in this world. And then same time, he'll go to the temple also. He'll be attending some programs practically. But that's another thing. Krishna is saying that nature hasn't gone. Rakshasic nature, Asuric nature is still there in that person. Therefore, Asurya Namate Loga Andhena Tamasa Vrita, Vishwavanishad says about that. For them, the goal is Asurya Namate Loga Andhena Tamasa Vrita. They'll fall into such yeha. Punaha Shraddhadhanaha Bhagavad Bhakti Lakshani Moksha Marge Pravurtaha. So in that words, Mokasha Mokha Karmanam Mokajnana Vichetasa Rakshasi Masurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shridaha. So that is a important verse. We'll look at that a little bit more in detail. We have seen before that Mokasha Mokha Karmanam. Krishna says that one who doesn't have this knowledge of spiritual knowledge, or the knowledge of the self, such a person who does not know the purpose of life, who does not know the purpose of life, and who always believes that I am this body, and who thinks that looking after this body is the goal of life, and who cultures or develops pride in the body, such people are mokhashaha. Now, we talked about charvakas. I don't know whether you remember. Charvakas. Charvakam. Charuvacham iti charvaka. In other words, one who talks very nicely. Charuvacham. Who can speak? They are charvakas. So, this charvakam, there is a difference here. Charvaka didn't talk about engaging in any spiritual life. Charvaka's philosophy is very simple. He says that you enjoy life. Why worry about other things? Eat well, use a lot of ghee, and eat well, and sleep well, and enjoy your life. Why worry about other things? Who knows what will happen after death? He doesn't believe in that. What will happen after death? He doesn't have any worry about that. If a person simply wants to eat and live well, they are generally referred to as Charvaka's philosophy. Mm-hmm. But what Charvaka has spoken, and Krishna is talking about here, there is a little difference. What is the difference? this person wants to go to the temple, and he bathes in the morning, and he wants to do some worship at the temple. Except that, everything else is like Charvaka as far as he is concerned. The remaining side of the life is concerned. Charvaka's case,
Charvakam, what we say, he is Nastikam, isn't it? Nastikam means atheistic. He is atheistic, Charvaka's philosophy. So what he says is, I want to eat well and I want to live well. That is Charvaka says. I want to eat well and I want to live well. And he doesn't say, Charvaka's people don't say, I want to become a big person in this world. I want to control the world and things like that. Charvaka is not saying that. You see the difference? This person who goes to the temple or church or mosque, doesn't matter what it is. You can see many political leaders, they go to church, they go to the temple, they go to the mosques also. But that's only for that time, for an hour or half an hour, 1 hour, whenever they go. But remaining time, they have a lot of desires inside. They want to rule over the world. They want to win the elections. They want to become prime minister and president and all kinds of positions. They want to hold all these things. Want to become a big person in the history and they create a lot of trouble also in this world. So here, in this verse, if you compare the Charvakas with this world, Charvaka is better. Because Charvaka is only telling you, eat well and live well. He's not making any plans to become big in this world. You know what I mean? He doesn't have any big plans. He just wants to live happily and die and go. So why they are worse than Charvakas? Unlike Charvakas, these people, they have developed a lot of desires inside. That is what Mokhasha means. And what else? Their activities also Mokha Karmanam. It disturbances to the world. Their activities are disturbances to the world. Their desires are unending, endless desires inside, and disturbing activities in this world. Therefore, they are more dangerous than the Charvakas are. Charvakas don't create any trouble. Only problem is that Charvakas' life is not practical. They're to eat and live well all the time. But Charvaka says, even if you borrow, doesn't matter. You don't have to pay back, he said. There are so many banks will give you money, take, they say. And the bank will go bust and then you can escape. That is probably Charvaka knew that people will be like that in the future. So Charvaka said, take it as long as you can get it from there. So all these ideas are there. So you can see these desires what people cultivate. Somebody wants to go to the space. Somebody wants to go to the other planets. And if you go there, what you want to do, they also don't know. After going there, just go and have a look what's going on here. Going to the moon planet, Mars planet, and do what? What will you do there after going there? You go there and take a lot of photos and bring them back, or some stones or whatever, and then distribute it to others and say, I've been there. And see, others also, these are the people talking about. They are worse than the Charvakas. Some of them, if you ask them, they'll be believers. They'll believe in the present. They say, oh, God exists, I believe in them. But the activities are all atheistic activities. And they, Krishna is saying, is worse than the Charvakas. Those people. Mokhasha, Mokharman. So many people in this world struggling with even minimum necessities of life, isn't it? With food. And millions of dollars they are spending to go to the space. To go to the space. And after going there, what to do? They don't know. This is called Mokhasha. Mokhasha means this. That you don't know what you want, but you're going there. Somehow you have to spend a lot of money and use the money from others to make your plans become a reality. And then you go. On the other hand, they just want to ignore about the life of other living entities in this world who have no food or no proper shelter or clothing, war goes on, this, that, so many other things. So, so sometimes they fight. And if you ask them why you are fighting, they also don't know why they are fighting for. Sometimes some of these wars, if you look at it, it's a joke. If you ask them, what are you fighting for? They don't know. Somebody has dragged them into it and they start fighting. Somewhere some war is going on, people are going from another place to go and join them to fight the war. Somewhere they have to release their, dissipate their ego or whatever, that fighting spirit inside. So, not only that, they want to destroy everything they want to destroy. That is what Krishna says, Mokha Karmaha. Mokha means useless. Mokha means useless. That's what moksha means. Mokhasha means useless desires. Moksha karmana means useless activities. So, not only it's good for him, no good for him, and it's no good for anybody else. And they will do such activities and they'll feel happy from that. They'll feel happiness from that, doing such activities. So, in order to do that, they will develop some technology and knowledge for that, to do such things, like this nuclear bomb and things like that. They don't know what it is for. Can you call it as knowledge? The development of nuclear technology to develop bombs. And they'll call it as knowledge that they have developed the nuclear bomb. They call it as knowledge, isn't it? So, atom bombs, nuclear bombs, you can't even call them as knowledge, isn't it? It's some demonic work they have created. So many things they are showing, some magic they are showing all the time. Mokha jnana vicheta saha. What does that mean? Mokha jnana vicheta saha means, like, their knowledge is like this. If you put on the television in the morning, there is continuously news coming, every hour on the hour, isn't it? And so many channels, so many things what's going on in this world. Like, have you seen when the bull passes urine? Boom, like that, it comes like a torrent of rain. It keeps coming and non-stop. It goes for a long time. Similarly, this news broadcast is like this all over the world. It goes on now. So many channels and so much news. They call it as news. So, and if you look at it, 90-95% of that is useless for us. As far as our spiritual life is concerned, it's useless. Is it not? It has no relevance or significance to us. So, therefore, Krishna says, Mokha jnana vicheta saha. What does that mean? we have this thing called mind. We have these things called mind. Mind is nothing but an energy that's coming from the soul. It comes from the soul, this thing called mind. That can be used for our benefit, the mental energy, for our peaceful existence and for realizing the self. We can use that, the mind. It can be used for that purpose, for realizing the self, for to be peaceful and also to do the good, right thing for everybody. Instead of that, it's being wasted outside for other things, for other things. So, day and night people work, but they don't know anything else except work. That's all it is going on. And he'll eat anything, whatever that is on offer, something is off advertised, they'll say, yeah, we'll give it a try. Some people are there who are eating, they say one day they eat Italian, one day they eat Chinese, one day they eat Indian, one day eat Thai, one day eat Japanese. Like that, one whole week filled with food from all over the world. They order all these things from and get delivered in the evening. You'll notice all these things in different places. Different people do all that. But rarely they want to cook anything at home. And they're busy with eating all sorts of other things. That means, in other words, they do so many things without any purpose behind it. There's no order in their life and no discipline in their life. Such people who are living like that, Krishna calls them as Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shradaha. Because his Prakriti or his nature is like that. His mind, the setup of the mind is like that. Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shradaha. How people slide down to that state of the Rakshasa and Asura. How they have become like that. We think that they are all normal people, isn't it? Oh, he is paying his own bills. Why should we worry about it? It is his choice. We say like that. We are not supposed to say anything about it when somebody is doing that, isn't it? What right have you got to say? I am ordering today, I am having a Chinese, and tomorrow I am having a Thai or some other food, Japanese or whatever food. What right you have got? I am paying for it. It's my taste. I like it. If you say like that, what can you answer? You can't answer. The reason is that they have this understanding that they will do so many things. If you ask them why you're doing like this, they don't have an answer for that. Their activities are also in the same way. So similarly, forgetting the tattva jnanam, that is what point Krishna is making here. forgetting the Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam means that why do we study Bhagavad Gita? Why do we study Bhagavadam? There is only one goal, to realize the self, isn't it? That is Tattvajnanam. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Krishna has made it very, very clear. In the beginning itself, if you say there, Vadandi Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavaniti Shabdyade. That verse, everybody knows that verse, isn't it? Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvajnanam Advayam Yajnanam Advayam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advaya Jnanam is the nature of the Tattvam. That is what it means. Advaya Jnana means non-dual substance is that knowledge. Knowledge is the tattvam. Knowledge, if you ask what is Krishna's form, Krishna's form is knowledge. Knowledge is Krishna. We are always thinking that Krishna is, in the early days when we start understanding Krishna, we will start first as a person with Krishna. We'll develop the relationship with Krishna in that way. But as you advance on the realization of the spiritual life, you have to understand that point, that Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yal Jnanam. Jnanam is Tattvam. Tattvam means Krishna. We had to call him as Krishna, as Bhagavan, by the devotees, Brahmam by the Jnanis, and Paramatma by the Yogis. But Tattvam is Jnanam. It is knowledge. It is knowledge. So that's what that verse is saying. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yal jnanam advaya jnanam. Advaya jnanam means non-dual knowledge. Non-dual knowledge means that tattvam, that soul which is one, present in everywhere in everything, realizing that. But Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade. It is addressed like this in three different ways. So here, he says here, they are mentioned as in the commentary also, Agnihotradi Karmam. Different karmam they are performing, but they are not realizing the truth. So, because if you do not know this goal of self-realization as the goal of life, it takes a while to get to that understanding that realization, realizing the self is the most important thing. Because sometimes what will happen is, after coming to spiritual life, when we hear about the heavenly planets and the possibility of enjoying the heavenly planets, desire starts building up inside. I don't mind going to heavenly planets, having a good time there for a while, before going to the... After that we can go to the spiritual world. People say like that sometimes. There are many people who inquire about heavenly planets facilities. One day, to one famous sannyasi, I think it was Shivananda Swamiji in Hrishikesh, one young man went there in his ashram and he was staying there for quite some time. So one day when he got he was studying there all various Puranas, Upanishads, everything, and he read various things where Apsaras women came from the heavenly planets, and Urvashi and Menaka and many others came and spent time with the sages who were performing penances like Vishwamitra and so many others. So this person was thinking, I don't think, he said, I'm going to get anywhere in the self-realization is concerned. He started thinking like this. And when he read all these things, he thought, will they come nowadays also? He went and asked Shivananda Swamiji about this. Suppose if I perform penances like them, severe penances, will all these things happen now? He said. That was his question. You see how desires takes a person. Sometimes mind will go in such directions. Because he wasn't very sure that he didn't want to get self-realized now. He says, what is this self-realization? He said, let me enjoy some time and then I can after that do all these things, he said. Shivananda Swami told him, yes, it will happen. Even now it will happen. He says, then I'll have that, he said, for the moment. He's willing to make that concession there, compromise there, in other words. So if that we are not fixed inside what we want in life, in the spiritual life, then these things will happen. That is also mokhasha, mokha karmana, mokha jnana vichetasa. So he lost his discrimination, power of discrimination. What for I am living and what is the purpose of life? That's gone. What's the purpose of life? Somehow I am doing some karma, I am living in this world. One person is walking towards the east, walking towards the east, but walking towards the east, but actually he was not walking towards, he was going towards the north, but in reality he had to go to the south. This is the kind of activity, their activities are like that, totally disintegrated in other words. No proper purpose in anything what they are doing, just like many of us are living in this world in that way, isn't it? There is no goal, we carrying on every day, another day passes, that's fine, that's good. And another day, another dollar, they say. Isn't it? In the same way we carry on in this world. So, Rakshasa means, Rakshasa and Asura, this is different. Rakshasa means one who are completely uncultured and brutal in their approach, absolutely no samskaram inside. Said, but the sad thing is, these days they are called cultured. Such people are called cultured. Somebody who is living very simple and peaceful in life with steady, disciplined way, if he lives there in this world, that we won't call them cultured. On the other hand, someone who works day and night very hard without any discrimination, and one who had no discrimination eating, and at the same time he runs around all over the world, and such people are actually the Rakshasa nature. Traditionally, those who lived simple and peaceful within a certain framework and discipline in life, they were considered as the cultured people. And those who are running around all over the world and trying to do various things in different ways, it was not considered very proper. It was not very considered proper. But at the moment, it is the other way. It is taken like that. So for Rakshasas, they can give pain to anybody, and also right thing, wrong thing, good thing, bad thing, nothing exists in them. So that is, they are called Rakshasas. And if you look at that word Rakshasa, have you observed something interesting in that? This word Rakshasa, if you turn it back, read it from the end to the beginning, it becomes Sakshara. Rakshasa, if you turn it, if you read it reverse, it becomes Sakshara. Sakshara means what? Sakshara means one who is literate. Very well literate. He's called Sakshara. So, normally we say that Saksharas of today are the biggest Rakshasas. One who are Sakshara, one who is very literate, who are very educated, in other words, they are the biggest demons also in this world. This also you can see. You can see this very well with big, big leaders. They go to the best schools, best colleges, best universities and all that. And when they come back, they turn out to be the biggest demons as well. Isn't it? So, Rakshasa nature develops like this. Generally, if a person comes out in an ordinary level, the chances of becoming a big demon is very little. He will live a simple life and pass through his life and go away. But those who have got these big ideas of going to big, big places, big universities and getting big qualifications and then do a lot of big things in this world, that develops into Rakshasa nature. So, those who are Saksharas means knowledge of the soul is missing in them. That's the biggest problem. They know, they have studied a lot of books, they have got a lot of qualifications and degrees, but the knowledge of the soul is missing. That is where the problem comes. So, therefore, it says, Sarva, Sarvaksharoja yasya chitte brahma iva abhadi savehi. So, savehi nirakshara. There is a statement in the Upanishads. It says there, one who has knowledge of the self, in whom it is illuminating all the time, who is conscious of self-realization and who is conscious of the presence of the soul in other living entities, he is the one actually educated. Not the one who has gone to universities and collected a lot of degrees and so many other garbage what we did. 12, 15 years we spend and do all these things. We say they are all educated, we say, isn't it? No. Not from the Upanishad's point of view, no. Usha's point of view means one who has spiritual knowledge inside and that is illuminating him all through his life and progressively taking him to the path of the self and realize the self, he is the one who is educated. He is the one who is called educated, not the one who is literate. Literate doesn't mean he is educated. So that is the point. So they may have educated, but there is no purpose in life. You can see this. If you ask any of these big leaders, you can see they are prime ministers, presidents and all. If you ask them, what's your goal of life? What will they answer? What will Obama answer? What will Cameron will answer? What will Manmohan Singh will answer? They're still there busy. He's 80, 85 years old and he's still busy with the with the administration management. So that shows their state of consciousness, isn't it? They have not come to understand anything. That they're still thinking they are this body. They're still thinking that they have a lot to do in this world. They're still thinking that if they don't do it, the country is going to dogs. This is all thoughts in their head. And fulfilling their desires inside. Basically, that's what they are doing. All these big politicians and big businessmen also, the same thing. There are a lot of desires inside and they are trying to fulfill those desires all the time. And that is what Krishna is addressing here, saying that mokhasha, mokha karmanam, mokha jnana vichedasa, and they are all rakshasas and asuras. Anyone who has not come to the spiritual path and who is not going for this one goal of life, realizing the self and coming out of the body, Krishna is saying they are all rakshasas, no matter who they are. They are all rakshasas and asuras. If you ask them, why do you want to do in life? They don't know. Say two terms as American president, after that finished, life is over for them. Then they are thinking how to manipulate next president, how we can make the next president. People are doing all these kinds of, when you see all these things, you can only laugh at them. Because they don't know anything else. They are supposed to be leading the world. And this is their realization about life. And why they live in this world, they don't know. There is no higher purpose in other words. Therefore, Upanishad says, Manushya Rubena Mrigam Charanti. They are all animals in the human form. In simple words. Manushya Rubena Mrigaha Charanti. So, and also they will involve in things and give pain to other living entities. On one side they'll be fighting the war somewhere. They'll encourage some people to fight the war. On the other side they'll go and do relief work also. That also you can see sometimes. So, and if you ask them why you're doing like that, there's no answer to that. So that is the Asura Ramedi. In addition to that, in all matters related to senses, they don't have any specific discrimination in them. Asura Ramanti. Asuram, that is Asura. The first one group is called the Rakshasas, who doesn't know what to do in this world and engage in all sorts of nonsensical activities, giving trouble to others, sometimes trying to do good things, what they think is good, sometimes doing things to others, giving pain to others. That is a Rakshasic nature. Asuric nature is no discrimination with the senses. Uncontrollable senses and enjoying like that. So sometimes you will notice this, some Rakshasas were very, very good looking. And they were very good looking. So when this is example in the Ramayanam, when Hanuman went to see Ravana, Hanuman says, after seeing Ravana, he was in a shock. The person was so beautiful, Ravana. Ravana was a very beautiful person. He says, wow, wonderful, he said. Wow, he said, when he saw him, seeing the personality of Ravana. Ravana says, if this person had dharmam in him, some religious principles, if he had followed in him, how big he will be, says Hanuman. Because Hanuman met Ravana first time, isn't it? When he went to Sri Lanka, that's where he met him first. And he says, if this person was following dharmam, what a noble person he will be, he says. Anjaneya Swami says this about, Hanuman says this about Ravana. So, Rakshasa is not a special category of people. Like, it's not a race or anything. Everyone is generally Rakshasas. We are all Rakshasas in one sense. And you can also notice that in the middle of all that, Vibhishana and Ravana are brothers, aren't they? But Vibhishana was a first class devotee. You see that? So it is not based on the on bodily identity. Ravana was more beautiful than Vibhishana. Ravana looked more beautiful. And they had the same, they have brothers, but one is a Rakshasa and the other one is a devotee. Other one is a devotee. Purely based on the consciousness. Purely based on the consciousness. So it can happen. One brother could be Rakshasa and the other brother could be devotee. It is possible. It is possible. Or in other words, the elder brother could be a demigod and the younger brother could be a Rakshasa. Vice versa. It can happen. It can all happen in that way. So, in the same family, I'm saying. In the same family, this can happen. One person could be a devotee, other person could be a Rakshasa. In the same family, two brothers. That's what it is. Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shudaha. So, such things, Krishna says, in the Upanishads also says, in the Ishavanishad, asurya namate loga anthena tamasa vrata. Verse of verse, you will read that in the one of the mantras in the Upanishads. So, whatever they do, what will happen to them is, they will go and fall into the greatest darkness. Such people. Who are like that, they will go deep, slip further and further into darkness. Everything what they do is a waste, and waste, the knowledge what they have got is a waste, and their actions are all a waste of actions, and a lot of futile desires in them. Futile desires in them. Mokha jnanam, futile work, futile are their thoughts and desires, and their mind is always full of vikalpam. Vikalpam means too many thoughts coming through them all the time. So you can see that in the most civilized society sometimes has got the largest number of mental patients also. In the most civilized society, sometimes you see they have the... You go and look at the aborigines, they don't have any mental problem. Hardly you will find with the problems of the mind. But in the civilized society, you find the most of the problems. Is it not? You can notice that quite often. And that is why it is mentioned here that this, you know, this they have conducted a study in India about this Adivasis. Adivasis means who live in the tribals. And they found out that there was nobody, a mental patient among them. They just lived so simple, they had no plans to achieve anything in this world. And we are going and trying to change them to make them like us. It happens everywhere. We are telling them, look, you are not civilized. You become like us. It will change you. You are not dressing up like us. You are not enjoying life like the way we are enjoying. And we'll make them also. And they change and they become eventually mental patients. We have done this in so many places, this has happened. It's all the time. We think that if you are not getting sick in your mind, there's something wrong with you. You need to be treated. Otherwise, how all the psychiatrists, psychologists will survive? They need a job, isn't it? So that to keep them busy also. So that's what he's saying here. So even when they conducted research among the Adivasis means the tribal people, they found out they didn't dream very much. We dream a lot. Why? Because throughout the day, we are so active in this world, mind. Therefore, we dream too much. They never dreamt. They only had two states, Jagrat or Sushupti. Sopnam didn't exist for them. This was eventually found out by research work. They found out, they inquired from the Adivasis, many tribal people. There are so many tribal people still living. I'm sure in Africa also there is still. But India also, in the hills, there are tribal people still living. And they live their life and they don't have any big ambitions in them to control the world or manufacturing, business, industry and things like that. GDP and all doesn't apply to them. We think that, oh, they are not civil, they are not like us. We have tried to change them also, make it like us. And that's where the problems are. So, for us, a lot of dreams, especially those who are watching television. A lot of television means a lot of dreams also from there, isn't it? So, or other words, when you go to sleep, all that what you watch in the television will come out. Something will So this question is always there. Why sometimes some people dream more than the others? This question was once raised, and Mahatma said about this, that if when you are not sleeping, that means in the waking state, if you don't dream much, while sleeping also you won't dream. In our normal state, throughout the day, practically it is whole dream going on through us, isn't it? We are dreaming so many things, planning for tomorrow, planning for future. And like that, our nature has become like this now. Rest of the life, what's going to happen? What will happen at the old age? What will happen to my family life? What will happen to so many things constantly going through the mind, and it becomes a dream later. It turns out to be a dream, analyzing this within inside. Sometimes we are awake, but inside is all dreams going on. They call that state as Jagrat Sapnam. Jagrat, externally eyes are open, but inside we won't know what is going on next to you, but things you are dreaming so busy. So once who dreams like that, he will have a lot of dreams in the night as well. So that is why in Jagrat state, if you are in Shanti, if that peace comes inside, then sleep also will be in Shanti. So in other words, our nature, Prakriti means mind, if that is in a Shanti state, everything will be Shanti, in Shanti. All our system is controlled by the mind. All the system, body, everything is controlled by the mind. So, so therefore, whatever that is created within the body, you know, the different things, what is generated inside the body, they will be in a good shape if the mind is in a Shanti state, in a peaceful state. So, for example, suppose you are watching the television and you are seeing somebody getting killed, and if you, at that time they say that you stop watching the television and observe with your own body, you are seeing some violence in the television, you observe that and then stop the television and look at your own body for a while, you will see what changes are happening inside yourself. That emotions that builds up, how it has a direct impact on us. So that so many things will happen inside the body even without our knowledge. So even though it is not real, it is a television thing, it's not a real, it's a film, but the impact on the body and the mind will be there. The impact will be there still. So in other words, drishyam means what you see, it affects the body. So therefore if you want to change your prakriti means mind in us, if you want to make it right, then you have to take the shelter of sattva gunam. Only sattva gunam will change that, will keep that shanti inside. That is the greatest advantage of sattva gunam. Sattugunam doesn't mean anything else. Sattugunam means keeping Shanti inside, that peace inside. You see, we always talk about Sattugunam, isn't it? Mode of goodness. What is mode of goodness means? Shanti inside, peace inside. In other words, Sattvigam. Sattvigam means activities associated with the mode of goodness, involving in that, engaging in bhakti, satsangam, and studying Shastram or Parayanam of Bhagavatam and others, and association with the those who are cultivating spiritual life in that way. And at the same time, when you are doing all these things, according to Prarabdham, problems will come in life. But when you are going through that Prarabdham means disturbances in life, because sometimes if I have executed some karmam previously, and in this body I am meant to experience that, even though you may be engaged in sattvagunam, still prarabdham will come. But a person in sattvagunam, what he will do? He will accept it as Bhagavad Prasadam. Krishna's prasadam he will take it. He will take it as prasadam. That Krishna has given me this, he wanted me to purify myself, that's why this problem has come to me in life. And he will accept it as prasadam. And while experiencing, enjoying that Krishna's prasadam in this form of distress, still he will make sure that he does not create any ragam or dvesham, attachment or aversion, even while experiencing through that prarabdham. Only if you do like that, he will not deny that. When problem is coming, he will not deny that. He will say that my prarabdham has come like this, in this form. So it can always happen. If you observe your own life, you will see this all the time happening. In different sources from where you are completely unexpected quarters, some problems will come from there. And you may like to think that why this person has turned against me like this, or some relationships problems have developed within the family. You can observe this, that there is some prarabdham in there that's come in that form. But if you are in sattvagunam, at that time what you will do, instead of going full steam ahead against that, you will accept it that Krishna has put me, and accept it in that way, and instead of trying to change that person, rather tolerate it, and at the same time thinking that let it not create any ragadvesham inside, attachment or aversion inside. So therefore, if they won't deny that, in other words, a problem is coming, they won't deny that, because due to prarabdham, if you have to suffer through something, if you don't experience that, instead it will get inside and will create trouble inside if you don't go through it. Suppose some prarabdham, some problem happened at home or in whatever society, something. You may not have thought about it before, but due to the power of prarabdham, it will come and hit you at some time. When it hits you, if you counteract that, you may sometimes win over that. But it will create a lot of troubles inside. Rather, if you experience through that distress to a large degree, you can see that you are freed from that prarabdham again. It will come and it will go. And only in sattvagunam, you can accept it in that way. When there is no sattvagunam, it is difficult. So, when prarabdham comes, anything has to go through in life without kartratvam. That I am responsible, thinking that I am responsible for that. Not to think that I am responsible for that is important. Sometimes we have that misunderstanding. Oh, I should have done like that, and this should have happened like this, and so many other things, we will start analyzing it in that way. That's wrong. That is no meaning. That is lamentation, hankering and lamentation. Lamentation that is, basically. Things will happen in life, even if you, but what Krishna is saying here is, if you are in sattvagunam, when such things happen, you won't take the ownership. That's the first thing. Kartrutvam won't be there. Ragadvesham won't be there. And at the same time, it will get destroyed. That prarabdha karma will get destroyed through that body, and you'll be able to accept it in that way. So, sometimes what will happen that when things happen, what we do is that we're going to counteract that, isn't it? We're going to counteract that in some way or the other. And what will happen is, in that process, it will create some impact inside our mind. And that will not be, the prakriti that creates inside, prakriti means the nature, will not be divine. It will be demoniac. That is the problem. That's what Krishna is saying here. That Krishna is saying that suppose in sattvagunam, suppose you are in sattvagunam, if you had some prarabdham to suffer through in this world, anything, it can be various things, isn't it? And we, what will happen is, when we are suffering, we'll blame others. He has done this to me, or she has done this to me, that's why I'm suffering. I'll take it that way. And if I go in that direction, Krishna is saying, you are not getting released from your prarabdham. Prarabdham is still there. So that karmam, prarabdham, if you go through it, it gets released and it goes away with that. If not, it will create, if you try to counteract that, what will happen is, it will create a reaction inside, and it will change our nature inside, and instead of sattvagunam, it will turn into rajogunam. Will turn into rajogunam. Whereas if you are in sattvagunam, and if you accept it in the proper way, the prarabdha karma, it you will at least escape from the final, at least your prakriti won't change. Prakriti is more important than the prarabdha karma. Prakriti is more important than the prarabdha karma. So, what will happen is, when such a thing happens, instead of becoming Devi Prakriti, you know what I am saying, isn't it? Devi Prakriti means divine nature. Asuri Prakriti means demoniac nature. If you counteract these prarabdha, what is coming, the result will be your Prakriti will change from Devi Prakriti to Asuri Prakriti. Instead of divine nature, you will become more demoniac nature. That is the answer to that. That is why Krishna is saying like this. Mokhasha, Mokha Karmanam, Mokha Jnana Vichetasa. Krishna says in the last two lines, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva. If you develop this Rakshasi quality, Asuri quality, Prakritim Mohinim Shrita. Prakriti means that mind, it will fall into that illusion more and more and more. That means you lose your Sattugunam, you will come down to Rajogunam. You will come down to Rajogunam. So, and once this Asuri Prakriti happens, we will lose contact with our real self. That also we know very well, isn't it? As soon as you develop this Rajogunam inside, what happens? You can't chant. You can't think even spiritual. Completely on the bodily level you start operating then. Is it not? Enmity builds up with others. And you want to destroy everything or want to react very strongly to others. All this is, says, the asuric nature. Demoniac nature is like that. So what this is where you can see. If you move from divine nature to demoniac nature, if you move from Sattugunam to Rajogunam, you will lose your contact with the self. That is the greatest loss, Krishna says. Do you see the point? If you lose your divine nature and you become demoniac, if you lose your Sattugunam, mode of goodness, to mode of passion, what is happening immediately? Your contact with the self is immediately lost. You can't think anymore spiritual way. You will deal with everybody in a materialistic way. That is the difficulty. That's the greatest difficulty. We are not aware of any of these things. It all happens. We come as and we react straight away. Somebody says something, I'm ready for. At that time, Bhagavad Gita all gone. We think Bhagavad Gita doesn't apply at that point. That's a problem. We all do that, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying. This verse is so important. Krishna is saying to us, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shada. Those two lines is sending this message to us, is delivering this message to us. See how careful we have to be in spiritual life. How careful we have to be in spiritual life. What will happen is, Krishna is saying, if you do not stay in Sattvagunam, and even while you are in Sattvagunam, Prarabdha Karmam will come in some form. We don't know how it will come. Everybody is getting it, one shot or the other. In one form or the other, we are all getting it. I'm getting it, I'm sure you're also getting it. That's all I can say. But when it comes, the normal tendency is to react against that straight away, isn't it? We'll try to react and see if I can. And then we'll come back to Bhagavad Gita after that. Krishna is saying here, it is at that time you have to be more careful. Because at that time, what will happen is, you may have studied Bhagavad Gita, heard about Sattvagunam, and some Sattvagunam may be there inside. You will lose that Sattvagunam straight away. And from Sattvagunam, because only in Sattvagunam you can think about the soul. It is not possible to keep that spiritual life growing, burning inside in Rajogunam or Tamogunam. It's not possible. Only in Sattvagunam it's possible. Krishna is saying, as soon as this happens, that you will straight away move to Rajogunam. And with that Rajogunam, what will happen is you will act in such a way, so instead of the divine nature, the demoniac nature will build up inside. demonic nature is developed inside. So therefore Krishna is saying in so many places later on also that what we have, how important it is to protect this sattugunam inside. Whatever sattugunam we have inside, how important it is to protect that. Because if you lose that sattugunam, you have lost the spiritual life. Primarily that's the message in that. That is what those two lines are saying. Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shridaha. See how nicely Krishna has put that. Rakshasim asurim chaiva. Never think that Rakshasa and Asura is Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Kamsa. We are all very divine people. No, this is all in us. We all have this Rakshasam Asuram in us. And that is why we are given, when we talk about this, we have to see the what is Sattvaguna means. Sattvaguna means a person peaceful all the time inside, in Shanti, serious about the soul and spiritual life, self-realization, and always disciplined, anushtanam, sadhana, everything very regulated, and not cultivating unnecessarily desires inside. These are all symptoms of Sattvaguna. So when we lose all that and we allow the Rajogunam to walk in, what will happen? Desires will build up, activities will start, and various things we will do in such a way that Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva. Krishna says Prakriti Mohinim Shraddha. His nature will change. Similarly, you can see this here, that when we lose contact with our real self, we will be imprisoned in the body. Immediately will fall into the body. That you can notice. Suppose you get angry with someone, what happens then? Do you think about the soul at that time? Completely on the body you identify. Yourself, you can observe this within yourself, what happens. Immediately you identify with the body. And someone comes and tells you at that time, you're not this body. Will you listen to him? You won't listen, would you? You're so absorbed, because within a few seconds you identify with the body very strongly. And that, because it happens like that, immediately what will happen is you won't be able to understand anything what Krishna is saying. Dhyana meditations or the knowledge what Krishna has spoken about will go, and tamogunam and rajogunam will take over. And when tamogunam and rajogunam inside, nothing will go inside also. And this body what we have is like an iceberg. Body is like an iceberg. You know the icebergs in the seas, they can see. It will come out only some places. You will see in the Arctic and Antarctic regions, they show that they show the icebergs. And it will be like a small island in the middle of the sea. In the middle of the sea. And if you go back and look at it underneath the water, you will see it's like Everest. A huge mountain-like thing, but on the outside, on the top of the water, it's only a small island what you see. But underneath that is probably even some places it's higher than the height is even higher than the Everest. The depth of those places, isn't it? So, so only on the surface what we see is very small outside. Outside it is very small. Similarly, this body is also is the surface only. This body what we have is only the surface what we are seeing, like the iceberg. Iceberg, if you look into the carefully, you will see this. You know, some of these television programs and all, they show this in the Arctic, Antarctic regions. They found some iceberg. They show, if you look at it, it's not very big. But that is only, that is above the water. What you see is above the water. But if you go underneath and look, you will see that iceberg is really huge. It is. It's more than even the size of the Everest mountain. It is there. So similarly, this body, what we have, is like that. Iceberg. And what you are seeing is only a very, very, very small part of what we are. What we are is a lot bigger than this body. What bigger than this body? or this body is a surface, in other words. It's just the periphery of the whole thing. And as you keep on going inside this body, you can see it is unlimited inside, going inwards. So, as you go inside deeper and deeper, you will see that there is an uninterrupted, unbroken consciousness inside, when you start touching that consciousness, you see the depth of us, our depth. That's when we realize our depth, like the iceberg. As you start going inwards and you start getting contact with that pure consciousness inside, which is unalloyed, uninterrupted and unbroken, that is, which is in constantly in touch with the rest of the creation. Krishna mentions it like that. That is why you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about that, he says, Prakritim Purusham Jaiva Kshetram Kshetrajnyamevacha. That's the verse in the 13th chapter. Prakriti, what you are seeing is Prakriti. You don't see the Purusha inside. What you are seeing is the Kshetram. You are not seeing the Kshetrajnyan inside. Kshetrajnyan is more powerful than the Kshetram. Kshetram is nothing. Prakriti is nothing. Body is nothing. When you start looking inwards and start seeing what goes on there, that we don't know at the moment. Therefore, our attention is all on the body and we think that we are this body, we are limited to this body. This way we have become like that. That's the point Krishna says. So, when we come into contact with that pure consciousness, Purnada, perfection is experienced, and that is Krishna. And this body is only a door of entrance to that. This body is nothing but a door to enter into that. So, if I keep thinking I am this body, and if we keep on looking outside everything in this world, it will not be possible to know that. That depth inside, and it's not possible to come to contact with that Purnatvam or perfection inside. Once you've broken up this external things, and once you close that door outside, then Krishna says the divine nature, Devi Prakriti, will happen. One should not remain in the Asuri Prakriti. Looking outside, outwardly, is Asuri Prakriti. Looking inwards is Devi Prakriti. That is the difference. So, Asurya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasavrata, Krishna is saying. So, Asuri Prakriti is like this. All the attention is on the body. All the time attention is in the world. That is Asuri Prakriti, isn't it? And if one starts thinking that, if you keep on thinking like that, how long will you stay in that state? Therefore people have decorated the body in so many ways. And there are so many special places for decorating the body also, isn't it? But whatever you may do, ultimately, this will start stinking, this body. One day it's going to start stinking, isn't it? So, in other words, after a while, no matter how nicely you have decorated this body, one day, Prakriti will, material nature, will dismantle everything. It will start dismantling one day. When it starts dismantling, what it does is, first it takes away the teeth, a few teeth, then it starts taking the hair off. That is the dismantling process. Prakriti is telling us, you haven't got any freedom in any of these things. I have given it to you, I'll take it back in my own way. And if you keep on identifying with this, what Prakriti has done to us, Krishna is saying, that is Asurya Namate Loka, Asuric nature. Asuric nature is like that. We are thinking, Asura does not mean, sometimes we, you know, these television people and all, or the drama and all, we present Vritrasura with a big mustache and he has got a huge body. We think that is all Asuras means, all like Ravana, we present something. And think, no, Krishna's words are different. Krishna is saying Asura means one who is looking outside all the time in the world, or one who is always caring for his body, thinking that I am this body, is an Asura. It's not different than that. But who Krishna considers as divine is that person who is not observing anything in the world, who is not observing the body, rather he is going inwards and looking for the truth, self-realization in other words. That's the point he mentions here. So whatever it may be, first the teeth goes, then the hair goes, and then the skin starts going, isn't it? So, now after that, people will try, sometimes it's very funny to see some old people, how they try to put this black hair, all the face, everything is gone completely. The skin looks about 80, 90 years old, but it's all black hair, they kept it. It's very funny to look at them sometimes. But still trying to act against the nature and present it to the world. Look, I'm young still, you know, in that way, that mood. When you see that, all you can do, it looks like a monkey altogether. The whole vision looks so ugly, that totally unmatching with the face and the skin and the hair and the teeth, they take it off and put all golden ones. And the smiles nicely. And it's very funny to watch them also when they smile like that. Isn't it? So this is all asuric nature. That means he has not come to terms with this reality that this body, he's still thinking it's mine. I can keep going it, doing something with it for a while. He knows very well. He says, oh, let it go when it goes. But at least as long as it's there, let me look after that. That's their attitude. But Krishna is saying, Asurya Namate Loga Andhena Tamasavrata, that Tamogunam is, it is, what it shows is that there is a lot of Tamogunam inside, in that person. In that person. You can see all these big politicians also, they have to show they're young, isn't it? So what they do, they make up and do a lot of, they do all that to present themselves young. And film stars, for example, they do all that. 75 years old man, he is acting like a 35 year old man, is romancing with young girls in the film. And film industry is all based on this, understand? This is all nothing but tamogunam. That tamogunam inside. So when a person is old, if he looks old, that is the beauty. Not that you make it looks young. That doesn't work. So long as he's thinking, I am this body, and there is these problems that I have the childhood, youthhood, old age, and he doesn't want all of those things. He only wants that youthhood, and that is impossible. That's not possible. Old age will come. Old age will come. And at that time, if you tell the body, it won't listen. It won't listen to you. So, just like one person, he had got into a boat and he was traveling in the sea. After a long distance he has traveled, he realized that the boat has got a hole and the water was coming through that. Now, at that point, he cannot go back or he cannot go further because he has gone so far. So, it is that situation now. You have traveled already a long way with this boat, and now if you think that you can fix the boat, it is not possible. Boat will go at its own way at the right time. So, similarly, in that boat, water keeps on coming. Similarly, this body also. So, thinking that I am this body, I have done a lot of things in this world to protect this body, acquired wealth, built houses, got married. Thinking that all these things will help me, but Krishna is saying, it is also Rakshasic nature. Sages, realized souls, they don't think like this. All this nature of trying to maintain and protect the body with the help of family, society and money and everything is an asuric nature it is. It's not a divine nature. Divine nature is to always be alert to think that the body will go one day. And there's nothing much we can do about it. It is not my body, it is the nature's body which has been put on me and it will be taken back at the right time. So, just like the boat, when it has the water starts leaking through it, and similarly, eventually the boat sinks. In the same way, the body goes. So, Krishna's point is, we don't know these things. We thinking that the body is everything and I'm passing my time in this world. And that is what he says here, mokhasha. Mokhasha means ambitions, expectations or desires. All of them is mokhasha. And one day everything is blasted. So you can see this in young people also when they grow up, they'll say, I have to become this, I have to become that, I have to become so many things in life. All these things are mokha karmanaha, and they will be engaged in activities to do that. So, mokhasha, mokha karmana, mokha jnana vichetasaha. So, because these three things happen, mokhasha, mokha karmanam, mokha jnana vichetasaha, what will happen is, in due course of time, that person will become a Rakshasa or an Asura. That is how it turns into. When we have this mokhasha, mokha karmanam, mokha jnanam in us, eventually we will lose that sattugunam in us and we will become rakshasa or asura. It will turn into that. That is why. So, you can see this, the thing that we have to become somebody big in this world, we have to keep so many people under our control, all these things comes from that, or control others' life. And what all they do, this controlling nature is sometimes very strong, isn't it? And that makes them rakshasa or asuri. And they will destroy prakriti. Prakriti they want to destroy. And in other words, give trouble to others. So, and interesting thing about that is, after doing all these things, when they finished and they look back to their own life, they will see that it was like a, what they call as marumarijiga. Marumarijiga means mirage. It was like a mirage because they were thinking that if they have done all these things, they will be satisfied and happy inside. But instead what has happened is when they finished everything, they realized that there was no happiness in life. There are so many people like that. They worked so hard, made so much money in this world, and finally they one day suddenly body was on its way out. And they look back to their own life, the amount of wealth they have accumulated, they just didn't know what to do with the wealth. To such an extent they have made wealth. It happens. And by then the time was over. The body has gone. And they had to go. And that death, when it happens like that, that's what Krishna is saying here. He dies in as a rakshasa or a asura. And eventually what will happen, when a person dies as a rakshasa or asura, he has to come back with that consciousness again. So important is this sattvagunam, cultivating that sattvagunam and living in sattvagunam. That is the point he is mentioning here. So just like in the mirage, desert, you're thinking there is water somewhere. You're running and running and running and running. At the end, when you got there is no water. There's no water there. It's only a mirage, isn't it? Similarly, whole life you have done something, so many things to get there, what you wanted to be, this position or that position. And when you get there, finally you realize that there is nothing in there. So, just like you're staying at your home, in your own chair, the same thing, what is going to happen. There's no difference at all. Only thing is, all the tension you have created in your life. So, even if you, not only that you didn't get anything, everybody else is criticizing you also. That's the extra additional thing what you got at that time. So this is what is called that mirage. So any achievement outside us, not inside, any achievement outside is a mirage. Anything in this world. So till you attain that, you will think there is something in that. But once you have attained, you will know that there is nothing in that. And that is called mokham. Just like in a balloon, there is a wind. If you release it, how the wind goes away. Similarly, it's all over at that time. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an example given for that. So just like in the desert, you saw this water, and if you, instead of running all the way to get the water there, suppose instead of running all the way there, if you stand where you are and if you keep on digging, at some point in time you may find water where you are. Where you are, you may find the water. Instead, even though you may have to struggle very hard. In other words, if you develop spiritual knowledge, it is possible that you may realize the truth one day. If you give time and if you absorb your energy in self-realization, it is possible that one day you may realize the truth. But instead, if you give up that process, if you run all over the world thinking that I will achieve this, I'll achieve that, with that way, you will not get it. That is a Bhagavadam's conclusion. Bhagavadam's conclusion. So, that is why, if you look into Bhagavadam, in the 9th canto, there is a history of so many kings. Have you noticed? So many king stories spoken there. And you start wondering, Parikshit is going to give up his body in 2 or 3 days' time. And Shubhabrahmarshi is sitting there and telling him, this king, his son, his son, his son, his son, his son, from the solar dynasty, whole thing, he goes on repeating that. Then he says, no, it's not over, he says. Then the lunar dynasty begins from Puriravas. His son. If you take the verses and look at it in the Bhagavadam, it mentions here, Tat-tat-sudaha. In every verse, you will see these words. Tat-tat-sudaha. In the ninth canto, that means, in ninth canto, there's totally 24 chapters. 13 chapters is solar dynasty. 11 chapters is lunar dynasty. Suryavamsham, Somavamsham. So, whole of Suryavamsham is discussed, and then whole of Chandravamsham, Somavamsham is discussed. And in both chapters, you will find this, Tatsat Sudaha. Therefore, if we start reading these verses very fast, it is like a train going, steam train. So they call that chapter, that canto, as the Srimad Bhagavatam train. Because of this, because of the way the sound that comes out when you read the verses. Tatsat Sudaha. Like that, it keeps coming, one after the other. Every verse after verse, it is like that. And there's a number of kings' names are mentioned there in that Bhagavatam. So, you may ask the question, why is he saying all these things? What is the need to say all these things? Only there's only one purpose behind it. What is that? Basically, they have only one thing to say. Shubhramarshi is saying, they were also dead and gone. That's all he wanted to say. Now, they were big kings, they were big personalities, and he was the son of such a great... You will see there Ambarish, Mandhadav, and Suganya, Chavanamarshi, and Ila. It's a number of names are there. Why you say all these things? The only reason behind it is to tell us that they were also dead and gone. That's it, finished. There's nothing more to it than that. To understand that, they also, only those who have realized the self, they have made some profit out of it. Otherwise, no matter who it is, it's all the same thing. Just like we talked about creation, isn't it? Creation also, for what purpose? For only to make us satisfy our in curiosity. Therefore, similarly, this king's life also spoken in the same way. So in Ramayanam, you will notice this. Ramayanam, Bharata says to Ramachandra. Bharata comes to Ramachandra. After Ramachandra left the palace and went to the forest. So Bharata comes to him and says to him, started crying to Ramachandra. And says, so you left the kingdom. How sad it is. This, that and the other. So many things Bharata started saying and started crying at that time. Rama asked him a question. What is this thing called kingdom? He says, what are you talking about? What is this big deal about it? And he says to him, everything you keep it together, one day it will be broken. It will be broken up. And whatever you have tried to protect, that will eventually, it will break down. So anything that comes together, one day it will all get separated. And so anybody who stays with a lot of vigor and energy and vitality in this life, he will also die, Rama says to Bharata. So, so what is the importance of this kingdom, he says to Bharata. Bharata was thinking that this kingdom is such an important thing that and he had come think, because it's all happened about the kingdom, isn't it? Kaikeyi wanted kingdom for Bharata. And that is why he insisted that Ramchandra should go to the forest. Now, Kaikeyi's tamogunam inside is dictating this, that kingdom is so important. And Bharata also thought that kingdom is important. But he thought that I am not the right person, should be Ramchandra who should be ruling. He is a lesser one. So he felt the need to go to Ramchandra and invite him to come back and rule the kingdom. Ramchandra's approach is, what is this big deal about this kingdom? What value has it got? This is Ramchandra's approach to the kingdom. You see the difference between Bharata and Ramchandra. Ramchandra full of realization inside, because through Vasishtha he has realized Yoga Vasishtham is all about educating Ramchandra through spiritual life by Vasishtha Maharshi. So after studying all that, Ramachandra has realized it, that kingdom also has no meaning. And he's saying to Bharata that you are thinking this kingdom is such an important thing. I am not thinking like that. Kaikeyi's ignorance was that he wanted you to have the kingdom, and Kaikeyi thought it is such an important thing in life. And you are thinking that I should, you are also thinking kingdom is important, that's why you want me to come back. But I don't think kingdom is important, Ramchandra says to him. That is spiritual life. That is self-realization, isn't it? So, what does this mean? It means Ramchandra is saying to him, those who have come before us, because before Ramchandra, there was Dasharatha was there. Prior to that, Aja, Raghu, Dilipa, Ikshvaku, like that, they have all gone. And I will also go, and you will also go. And why worry so much about it? This was Ramchandra's questions to him. So this knowledge is necessary in spiritual life. So, therefore, Bharata says to him, to Ramachandra at that time, in an amazing tone, he says, Yadha madaha tadha jeevan yadhavadi tadha gadi. He mentions there that this is something different than what I thought. Bharata says to Ramachandra. Ramachandra says to Bharata that this intelligence, one who has got this intelligence, he will not be frightened of anybody. If he has come to that realization, kingdom is not important, body is not important, world is not important, only what matters is the self. If he has come to that understanding, he doesn't have anything to fear in this world. This is how Ramachandra answered Bharata. Bharatobadesham, it is called in the Ramayana. In two places, once to Lakshmana and once to Bharata, Ramachandra instructs. One is called Bharatobadesham, other one is called Lakshmanobadesham. Both are instructed on the spiritual side of life. How a person who is in spiritual life, how his attitude will be towards the world, towards the body, everything. That is what is explained in these two instructions. Ramachandra's special instructions to Bharata and Lakshmana. Mainly towards the world, in other words. So, so only such a person who has his attention completely on the soul, he is called Mahatma. From this verse, that's what we have to conclude. Only such a person whose sole attention is on the soul and realization of the self, he is called Mahatma. And that is what Krishna says in the next verse. If you look, you will see. 13th verse. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Devim prakritim ashridah. Bhajan dhyananya manaso. Nyatva bhudhadim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Devim prakritim ashridah. Bhajanti ananya manaso yatva bhudhadhim avyayam. Mahalpanastu mam partha devim prakritim ashridaha bhajanti ananya manaso yatva bhudhadhim avyayam. Now this verse is exactly the opposite of the last verse. What have we seen in the last verse? Last verse Krishna has said, Mokhasha, Mokha Karmanam, Mokha Jnana Vijayadasa. If this happens in a person, it will make that person Rakshasi, Asurin Chaiva, and he will slip down into Prakritim, Mohinim, Shridaha. That was the last verse. In this verse, Krishna is saying, after talking about all that, we discussed this, that finally anyone who is not focused on the soul, no matter who it is, he may be anybody in this world. If he is not focused on the soul, he is a Rakshasa or an Asura. Rakshasa or an Asura. If he is focused on the soul, Krishna says he is a Mahatma. He is a Mahatma. And to glorify that Mahatma is this verse. Mahatmanastu mam partha. What is his nature? Devim prakritim ashridaha. His nature is very, very divine. In other words, always he is in Sattugunam. He is always in Sattugunam, he lives in Sattugunam. Why? Is always fixed on the soul, on self-realization. That's all his goal is in life. We cannot link self-realization and spiritual life with anything else in this world. Everything else is external. It has nothing to do with self-realization. What job you do in this world, how much money you make in this world, and how big your family is, or how many social connections you have. Whatever you do in the other things in this world, it has no relevance as far as the self-realization is concerned. That is the point you have to understand from that verse. Krishna is saying, one who is fixed on the path of spiritual life, always committed for realizing the self, always developing the knowledge of the self inside, and do everything what's necessary to progress in that path, Krishna says, he is a Mahatma. Mahalpanastu mam partha. He is on his way towards me. In other words, realizing the self. When Krishna says mam in all these chapters, you have to remember what he refers to actually is self-realization. In a devotee's point of view, you can take it that he is on his way back home, back to Godhead. But from the jnani's point of view, it is to be understood in that way. That is, he is towards the self-realization. Both you can accept that. Both are correct. Mahalpanastu mam partha. He is a Mahatma for me. Why? Devim Prakritim Ashridaha. His nature is divine. Always he is in the Sattugunam. Always situated in the Sattugunam. And he has taken shelter of that Sattugunam. In other words, he has taken complete shelter of the Sattugunam and Bhajandi. And he executes his spiritual life. How? Ananyamanaso. Ananyamanaso. Remember that word Ananyam. We spoke about that. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That is the definition of word ananyam. Ananyam means that you have cultured the spiritual life in such a way, completely come to the platform of the soul, and when you realize that only soul exists, they are not separate, it's not broken, it's only that one soul that is present in every living entity. That ananyamanasa is that, bhajandi, and he engages in spiritual life with that understanding. Jnatvam bhutadim avyayam. He says here, that avyayam, that life which is based on that soul is avyayam. That means it is inexhaustible. In other words, it will never become, it never comes to an end. It remains in that state permanently, forever. In that state he will remain. If you look into the translation, you will see Krishna says, O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Now, Prabhupada has translated that completely from the bhakti point of view. That I have to say that. Completely from the bhakti point of view, Prabhupada has given that translation. But the verse actually means both jnanam and bhakti. Jnanam and bhakti. From the jnanam platform, that is what bhajandi ananyamanaso. Ananyamanasa means that realizing the self, and in that state knowing that only self exists, nothing else exists in this creation. Like you will see in many places in the Bhagavatam also, Jnatva Bhudhadim Avyayam. And all living entities are eternal and full of bliss and full of knowledge. That realization will come at that time. So here something interesting. Mahatmas, when they cultivate spiritual life, they take shelter of Sattugunam. That's important. They will cultivate spiritual life in Sattugunam. Now, there are many people who cultivate spiritual life in Rajogunam also. You will notice that. There are people who cultivate spiritual life in Tamogunam also. So, Mahatmas, Krishna says, are those who cultivate spiritual life in mode of goodness. In mode of goodness. You will see, even in the Vedic tradition also, there are people who develop spiritual, they are also in spiritual life, but they have taken shelter of certain deities which are in the mode of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. You will see that also. And there are so many religious processes in this world, people go and follow that process which are not purely in the mode of goodness. Isn't it? You can see that. Not in the mode of goodness. Very much in the mode of passion and mode of ignorance. So that Krishna doesn't approve. Krishna says, Mahatma is one who cultivates spiritual life completely in the mode of goodness. Only then he is a Mahatma, he says here. Why? Ananya Manasa. Vajanti Ananya Manasa. In other words, Ananya Manasa means that he does not allow his mind to go in any other direction, completely fixed on the truth. And they worship me. Krishna says they take shelter of me and worship me. And in this verse, how they conduct the worship and what is bhakti, all these things Krishna is mentioning in that verse. So here, if you look into that, Mahalpanasu mam partha devim prakati bhajanti ananya manaso nyatva bhudhadim avyayam. So Mahalpanaha, Mahalpana means to akshudra chittaha mam ishwaram partha devim devanam prakritim shamadama daya shraddhadi lakshanam ashridaha sandaha bhajanti sevande ananya manasaha ananya chittaha nyatva bhudadim bhudanam vyadadinam praninam cha adhikaranam avyayam katham. So Mahatma means one who does not have any bad thoughts inside. Any bad thoughts inside. Why bad? No bad thoughts inside. They don't have any thought of giving trouble to others or controlling others. No such thoughts in them. They are due to control of the mind and the control of the senses. Shamam and damam. And compassion towards others. Everybody is suffering in this world. That understanding. Everybody is suffering in this world. Therefore, they are mercy towards others. And at the same time, Shraddha. Always fixed on the self-realization. So, and these qualities are there in them. And therefore, they are not interested in worshipping many, many deities. In many, many deities in this world. They are fixed on the truth and they are fixed on the and process. Fixed in the process. So, and Krishna is saying here that because they are like that, they take shelter of me who controls all the five material elements, Panchabhudams, and all living entities, and who is the controller of all that. That means every form what you worship is not important. Is not the important thing. What it is Krishna is mentioning here is Mahalpanastu mam partha. Krishna says he will execute his spiritual life for self-realization only. That's what that means. For example, there are so many forms worshipped in this world, isn't it? In the name of God. So many forms are worshipped. Now, you cannot say that all those forms are worshipped purely with the goal of self-realization. Mostly it is for relieving the distress of this life in this world or fulfillment of all our desires in this life. Various things like that. So that worship Krishna is not accepting. Krishna is saying only those who keep the soul and self-realization as the goal. Mam. That's what word mam means. And who executes spiritual life in that way, he is a Mahatma, not otherwise. There are many people who engage in spiritual, it may appear to you as though they are in spiritual life, but they have some motivations inside to achieve something in life or to relieve their some distress in this life or to fulfill some of their desires in various ways. People are worshipping in different forms in this world. That's not, Krishna is not accepting that here. Krishna is saying, bhajanti ananya manaso jnatva bhudhadim avyayam, he says. In other words, he says here that they will only worship me, means the purely spiritual realization is the only goal in them. With that mood, they will worship me, Krishna says. They will worship me in that mood all the time, which is a big thing, isn't it? Generally what happens is, we all read all these things first. And then we come to spiritual life. After a while all the problems comes. Then the whole thing changes. Then we become, then we start thinking that I have to keep asking Krishna for shelter. And taking shelter develops into the form of asking things from Krishna. It happens like that. That's what happens most of the time. When we start experiencing many miseries of this world, then we start thinking, alright, I've been worshipping Krishna for so many years, let me ask something from him now. He hasn't given me anything so far, let me have some peace of mind in this world. So, when distress develops like that, asking will start. But Krishna is saying, if because there is no proper knowledge in the person, he goes in that direction. So you can see how important it is to have the proper knowledge of spiritual life. Otherwise, it will completely turn out into a catastrophe like that. It will become in a different way. It will start going, and then temporarily, all we want to do is to live a reasonable life in this world and not worry about the future and after death what happens and all that. No more thinking about that. It will happen like that. That's why he says here that this particular verse is indicating as opposite to the verse before, Mokasha Moka Karmanam. Verse 12 and verse 13 are the two sides of a human nature. Two sides of the human nature. One side, Mokasha Moka Karmanam, Moka Jnana Vijayasa, Rakshasi, Masurin Jaiva, Prakriti Mokinim Shrida. How a person becomes a Rakshasa, Asura, and eventually falls down and goes to hell. The other side, Krishna is saying that Mahatmana Astu Mam Partha Devim Prakriti Mashridaha Bhajandi Ananya Manaso Jnatva Bhutadim Avyayam, he says. Isn't it? So this is the other side of it. After saying both these two sides of our life in this world, the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita is what is called as the words for sadhana. It's called sadhana verse. That verse, next verse, is called sadhana verse. Because have you noticed one thing? This ninth chapter I mentioned before also is the king of knowledge, isn't it? Rajavidya. And also he mentioned it is Rajaguhyam, extremely confidential, highly confidential, isn't it? But up to this point, this verse, Krishna has not spoken about anything about sadhana, has he? Right now we are at the, how many verses in front? It is the, this verse, yeah, it's the 14th verse, the next one is the 14th verse. So in these 13 verses, sadhana has not been even spoken about. Sadhana has not been spoken about. Why? Why is it like that? There is reason behind it. We are all thinking our sadhana is the biggest thing in life. Isn't it? Sadhana is the biggest thing in life. Actually, it is not. More powerful than sadhana is the knowledge of the process and that fixed mind in the goal. That's more important. Sadhana is not important. Somehow this mistaken understanding in us that sadhana does everything. Sadhana doesn't do everything. How strongly you are fixed on the goal is more important than your sadhana. Because if it is fixed properly, your life will change. Sadhana may not change the life. Suppose in your deep inside, if you have the realization of the goal properly, you will see there is a change happening within you. In your approach towards the world, towards the life, towards others, everything. A change will happen. And that change will happen through the knowledge only. That is why knowledge is considered powerful than the sadhana. Sadhana brings discipline in life. That's what sadhana does. But mistakenly we think that knowledge is not important, sadhana will do everything. Sadhana won't do everything. It's a misunderstanding. Krishna answers that in the Bhagavatam also. The same thing he mentions. Very clearly, he says, sadhana, sadhana, after all, what is our sadhana? Think about our sadhana. How powerful is our sadhana? Couple of hours in the day we are chanting Hare Krishna. This is our sadhana. Is that a big deal? It's not. Even if you chant, if you observe yourself, even if you chant, say, 64 rounds a day for a month, you'll look yourself inside how much you have changed. In 2 days' time, you'll be back into your old state again. Is it not? Have you noticed that? I have noticed that. That's what I'm saying. I tried to chant a lot of rounds, a lot of times, a lot of months and all. And I thought that everything has changed. It hardly took 1 week to go back to the old state before what I was before. Same ignorance, ajnanam, everything came back very quickly inside. All you have to do, go in seclusion, in solitude, and practice some serious sadhana for a month's time. Chant, say, for about 50 rounds a day and don't get involved in the world and keep yourself and in a peaceful state. Chant 50 rounds a day for about a month in seclusion or solitude. And then you give up that and go to the world outside and engage in the vyavaharam there. Hardly it will take 2 days for you to lose this whole 1 month's work, what you have done, the sadhana. You will see that how weak you are. You will immediately know it yourself, how weak you are. It only takes a few association with few people outside, they'll drag you down to their world and you'll become part of that. You will even forget that you have chanted 50 rounds for a month. Even that will be forgotten. That is how it is. That's how it is. Sadhana is a very small thing as far as the effect in a person is concerned. How much it affects you is more important, not how much sadhana you have done. How much that has impacted on you is more important. What's happening? Because you are the one who has to get out of this existence, material life, isn't it? So that's why I'm saying that all this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is strengthening that side, not the sadhana side. It strengthens the knowledge side of it, and if that is fixed properly and if that starts working, you will see the result also inside. Otherwise not. We are not trying to condemn sadhana. Sadhana is necessary in life. We do need it. But if you start depend on that completely, then you will notice that the right thing you have forgotten, what you have to do. So therefore, this important verses. That's why sadhana side of it in this whole chapter is only one verse. In this whole chapter, the sadhana part of it is only this one verse. That's all. And it's supposed to be talking about bhakti. And that too, it is the most important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya Krishna calls it, Raja Guhyam he calls it. But while referring this whole chapter, the reference to sadhana is just one verse. Reference to sadhana is just one verse. So that is the important thing to realize here. These are things to be taken note of. Because if you read simply, somebody told you sadhana, 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 and you keep on running after sadhana, sadhana will do it. You will notice at the time when you have to leave the body also, you look back and see what sadhana has done. What sadhana has done. You will realize at that time. That's why I'm saying that, because normally our thinking is that we are like the sheep, isn't it? Somebody tells us something, we just go on doing that. Without asking any questions. And that is not good. Bhagavad Gita is not a book like that. Bhagavad Gita is meant to change. If the change hasn't happened, then that means we haven't got the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. That is an important thing. So, here. So that is why the next verse is completely based on that principle that sadhana has a role, but sadhana is not the whole process. Process is not simply sadhana. More getting fixed on that goal and getting attached to the goal is more important than the sadhana itself. There are many people in this world who execute spiritual life in that understanding. If you observe their life, you will see that because they are so fixed inside, and if you observe them externally, you may not see them doing a lot of sadhana. They do have certain nishta or anushtanam in the morning or in the evening, but remaining time, the change is happening inside due to contemplation and reflection and other things. They have adjusted their life and the changes force them, or the knowledges force them to change their pattern of life and come to terms with the closer to the reality in that way. So that is that verse. Krishna, therefore that verse is centered around that principle. So, we'll have a short break. So, we saw this verse before. Krishna mentions, Avajanandi maam mudha manushim tanum ashradam. That was the 11th verse, I think. Yeah. Avajanandi maam mudha manushim tanum ashradam param bhava majanando mama bhuda maheshwaram. We have seen that verse before. Krishna is saying, due to ajnanam, ajnana means avidya. Once it is inside, you will not know when you see a mahalma. When you see a mahalma, you won't know about him. Similarly, when Krishna comes here, we will not know who Krishna is. Exactly the same way. When you see great realized souls, you won't know that they are realized. You won't know that. Because of avidya inside. That is what that verse. Avajanandi ma mudha manushim tanum ashridam. He says, due to ajnanam, I am not able to know about Mahatmas. Similarly, when Krishna comes here, also we are not able to know who Krishna is. In the same way, due to the same reason. So, all these things are in that verse. In that particular verse, carries all of this. All these things. Three things are mentioned in that verse, if you carefully look at that verse. First thing is, due to ajnanam or due to avidya, when you see mahalpas, you don't know. That's the first one. When you see, due to ajnanam, ajnanam means avidya or ignorance, when you see mahalpas, you don't know. You won't know. Secondly, when Krishna comes and incarnations, as Krishna's incarnations or Krishna himself, when he comes here, we don't know about that. Thirdly, we don't know about ourselves. Imagine how deep that ignorance is in us. We don't know about ourselves, what we are. We think we are the body, that is one ignorance. We don't know when Krishna comes here, this is the absolute truth who is here in that form, manifested here. Not knowing Krishna's position. When we say we don't know Krishna means, we don't know Krishna's position, in other words. Krishna is the soul of everyone, isn't it? Andaryami, of every living entity. That we don't know. We don't know that. Thirdly, when we see Mahalpas, we don't know that they are the realized souls. That also we won't know. So these three things are mentioned in that verse. So, in order to realize the self, in order to realize the self, Krishna mentions that one should approach a realized soul. In order to realize the self, one should approach a realized soul and hear from him this truth. Truth about the soul, about the soul. This is the system. This is the traditional system. You will see in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita spoken about that. One should approach a spiritual master who is realized and hear from him. So, there also, what will happen is, if you start thinking the spiritual master is the body, and if you start worshipping that body all the time, and if you think that I have to feed the guru very well so that he gets strong and stout and remains very healthy rest of the life, and start worshipping him, considering he has the body, we think like that. That's another deviation. When what happens is, so this is the age of that. This is the age, like that, where we think spiritual master is also the body. That body we think is the spiritual master. And what happens? We think we have to keep that spiritual master alive and long live. So we should feed him very well and look after him in that way. And we should worship that body all the time. And that is sufficient, we start thinking. If you do all that, your spiritual life will go very well. And this is the concept which is spreading very fast. Due to ajnanam. That is ajnanam. That is avidya, that is. Lack of proper understanding of spiritual life. So, therefore, what happens is, those who wants to become guru and those who wants to be worshipped, they want to get that job. This is the result of that. What can you do? When you get followers like this, the people also will exploit that, isn't it? You can't do anything about it. That's the age we are in. We have made a complete mockery of what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a high thing what Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we have brought it down to such a mundane level and made a complete mockery of the whole thing. It is happening all over the world, this business. This business is going on. So, those who have got desires to be worshipped and those who want to have the desire to become a guru, and all of them will keep coming to this field more and more. Into this field they will come. Those who wants to become gurus or those who wants to be worshipped, they will come to this field more and more. And it becomes very difficult for ordinary people to separate them out. Corn from the grain from the chaff, as they say, isn't it? It becomes very difficult. It becomes more difficult now than any time before because there are more people in this field. But for a first class person who is inquiring, who is after the truth, for him the form of the guru, the body of the guru, or worshipping the guru is not important. You may wonder why I'm saying this. You should know from the great personalities who have driven all the different traditions, for them, they have always mentioned this. The form of the Guru, the body of the Guru, or even worshipping that Guru is not important. And a first-class Guru also, for him, worshipping his body or massaging his feet is not important. It's not important. If a Guru is like that, the disciple also will be like that. That if he is giving importance to massaging the feet and worshipping his body and looking after his bodily comforts, that will become another parampara in this world. It's not a spiritual parampara anymore. If Guru started doing this and taking pleasure from all these things, and if he starts thinking that this is spiritual life is all about, you can see that parampara developing in that way. Everywhere you will see this. All you can do is to stand as a witness and watch the fun going on. If this is all spiritual, this is not what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a much different thing. So anyway, so all these things will happen. Now, by saying this, Krishna is not saying you shouldn't do any of those things. What it says is that that is a different topic altogether, mainly because between the Guru and the disciple, Guru should always remain on the platform of the soul. That is the most important thing. If he is not on the platform of the soul, then the disciples will also fall down into the platform of the body very easily. If the spiritual master is always on the platform of the soul, it will permeate that spirituality to the disciple. Disciple is always on the platform of the body, you have to remember. It is the spiritual master who is always to be on the platform of the soul, and he has to pull the disciple from the platform of the body to the platform of the soul. That is the duty of the spiritual master. In other words, that is why Krishna mentions there that Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. You remember that words in the Bhagavad Gita? No. Tadvidhi Pranibhadena Pariprasnena Sevaya Ubadekshandide Jnanam. He added that word there, Jnanina Tattva Darshina. He must be a Tattva Darshi. Tattva Darshi means self-realized. He must be a self-realized person. Otherwise, he cannot deliver. He cannot get the message through. Jnanina Tattva Darshina. So, it is a very high position what Krishna is expecting from that. In other words, he should be able to give the knowledge of the soul, get the message through to the disciple's heart. Through the disciple's heart. Equally, the disciple also must have the capacity to absorb the knowledge of the soul to himself. Both are there. The spiritual master must have the capacity to deliver the person or to get the message through to his heart, which means the knowledge of the soul. Equally important, the disciple also must be qualified enough to take the knowledge into the heart and self-realize the self. So, if the disciple has that capacity to receive the message in that way to the heart, in that case, sometimes even the spiritual master may not be necessary. So, even if he is living in this world as a laukikan, laukikan means in the material life. That means, say he is performing various things in this world. He lives his life with the family or in the society. Even if it is like that, if that disciple has the capacity to take the spiritual knowledge into the heart and to develop himself, even if he remains in the material life here, he will escape at the end. He will escape at the end because the knowledge is working properly inside. This is how important that is. So in other words, when one makes serious endeavor for Tattva Jnanam, for knowledge of the truth, and if that desire has come, thirst has come for developing that knowledge of the self and realize the self, if that desire has come strongly inside, normally Krishna will come in front of him in the form of a spiritual master. That's how it works. Suppose there is someone who has followed the process seriously and cultivated all the necessary qualifications for receiving spiritual knowledge. because there's a lot of preparations to be done inside here. Shamam, Dhamam, Tidiksha, Ubaradi, Shraddha, Samadhanam, Nitya Anithi Vastu Vivekam, Ihamutra Bhalavoga Viragam. There's so many things mentioned there. Shamam, Dhamam, all that. Then Mumukshatvam, above all, they say Mumukshatvam. That means if a person has developed that intense desire inside to escape from here, that is Mumukshatvam, liberation in other words. If all these qualities is in abundance in a person, imagine that. If all these qualifications are there, qualities are in abundance in a person, and that person is ready for spiritual life, Krishna will make sure that he will send someone in some form. Krishna will appear in front of him to take him to the next, to release him from this bondage, to release him from this bondage. So therefore, who says this? Every acharya says this. Every shastram says this, that this is how it was. Krishna also says that. Atmano guru atmaiva purushasya visheshada. That one important verse to Uddhava, Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam. Atmano guru atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshayanam anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. You will see in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna saying, Atmano guru atmaiva Uddhava. So soul inside, Atma, is Guru. Why? He, from inside, he pulls you towards him, and if your appropriate stage, if you have reached the right situation, then he himself comes out in another form from outside and pushes you inwards. That's what Guru means. This is real Guru. Real Guru is a manifestation of the Antaryami inside. It's a very subtle science it is. Atmano guru atmaiva purushasya visheshada, Krishna says to Uddhava. That importance here is, it is if the person who is come to spiritual life, and if he is genuinely and seriously inquiring, and if he has adjusted all his life properly to make that step in the spiritual path and completely come to the understanding, there are a lot of qualities mentioned in the Bhagavadam. About the disciple. You remember that in the 10th chapter? Who is a guru? Who is a disciple? Krishna talks about that in the 10th chapter of the 11th canto. You will see there. If those qualities are there in abundance in a person, he is ready for that, receiving that knowledge. Otherwise, he is not. If you want, I can tell you what those verses are. You will see there, if you read through those verses.
Yamana Bhishnam Seveda Neyaman Malparekwajil Madhavityam Gurum Shandam Upasida Madalpagam Amani. This is the disciple. Amani Amalsaro Daksho Nurmamo Dradasauhrida Asatvaro Arthajityaso Anasuyo Amokavak. These are all a good disciple's qualifications. Amanyatvam Amalsaram Daksham Nirmamam Dhridasauhridam. What are they? Amanitu means one who is never thinks about himself big. That is Amanitu. Amanitu means he considers himself very, very low. Always in front of others, keeping a lower profile. Amalsaro, he is not here to compete with anyone. Competition is not a good thing. We think in the modern world, competition, if you have to be competitive, they say. This is everything opposite to this, you will see in the modern world. People encouraging all that. You have to be continuously competing with somebody. I'm better than you. I have to prove all the time. Amani Amalsaro. Amalsaro means one who has no competition. He says, oh, you want to come, you carry on. I don't want to compete with anybody. Leave me alone. This is Amalsaratvam. Amalsaratvam. Amani Amalsaro Daksho. Daksho means one who is expert in doing things in a proper way. And Nirmamo Dhrida Sauhridaha. Nirmamatva means no attachment anywhere. He is able to live in this world without being attached to anything. That is Nirmamatvam. Dhrida Sauhrida. Dhrida Sauhrida means always friendly to every living entity, because he knows that it's the same Antaryami inside him is present in the other person also. Why should I look at him in a different way?
So therefore, a good friendship, not on a bodily level, but on the understanding of this Antaryami principle. That Antaryami inside me is present in the other person also. How can I be indifferent to him? That's that. Then asatvaro artha jinyasu anasuyo amokhava. This is interesting. Asatvaro means, suppose something is told. Some people, have you observed? As soon as you tell them, immediately they'll get up and jump and start doing things. That's not good. What is expected is that when you hear something, hear that properly and think about it enough. Asatvara. Asatvara means you are not in a hurry to do it, but do it in a pace after properly understanding what the instructions are in the, say, in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavatam. Asatvara. Artha jinyasu. Artha jinyasu means that whatever that is spoken, you got the gist properly. Artha jinyasu. And you are always inquiring in such a way that you want to get the message correct. Suppose there are so many instructions in the Shastra, isn't it? Have you noticed sometimes some instruction people misunderstand completely in a different way? And that is not a good thing. Therefore, artha jinyasu. Artha jinyasu means, if you have heard something new from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you should be able to churn through that and inquire about it and get to know the right understanding. That is artha jinyasa. And then anasuyo. Anasuyo means one who is free from envy. Free from envy. Amokhavak, one who doesn't talk unnecessarily things. When he speaks with a measured way. Only what is essential, he talks. So, in that 10th chapter, in the 11th canto, it's all about this. About a spiritual master and a disciple. In the strict sense, how should it be? How a spiritual master, how should be a disciple should be? All those things are spoken there. So when a person is ready for spiritual life, as spoken in that chapter, and that desire has come in that person, Krishna knows that inside as Antaryami, he will come outside in some form and start driving him further inside. Though that guru, when he comes like that, then Krishna himself will instruct him through that person to him. Krishna will instruct through that person to him. In other words, Antaryami starts instructing him from outside. Antaryami means normally inside, isn't it? He is one who is inside, is Antaryami. But Antaryami will take a form and come outside and start instructing him from outside. Antaryami does that. So, and taking that understanding is always necessary in spiritual life. And that process, this is the process. And this has to be taken very seriously. And we have to be situated in that state all the time with this understanding. So that spiritual master who comes like that will give a lot of joy and happiness to the disciple, because he will receive the proper message in the proper way. Proper message in the proper way from the proper person. That's when it is happening, when the things happen in his life. When the things happen in his life. So, and this person also, this disciple, when he realizes the self in that way, the spiritual master also gets pleased with that. That he is also realizing the truth. Kamaya sarvabhudanam aduti alpa darshanam. It mentions in the Upanishad that a great personality, a Mahatma, who is a realized soul, how he should live in this world, says the Upanishad. Upanishad says, how he should live in this world. Kamaye sarvabhudanam and adhidiyam atma darshanam. That adhidiyam atma darshanam is always in the platform of the soul. Always in the platform of the soul. And he has only one desire in him. What is that? He wants everybody to realize the self. That is the interesting aspect of that. One who is self-realized, his only desire is that everybody else should realize the self. Realize the self. So, such a person who is in that state, he will never see his spiritual master as the body. He will never see the spiritual master of the body, nor he will see in his body as a spiritual master. In other words, whatever the spiritual master has spoken, he will bring that knowledge into realization. He will make that knowledge into realization. That is the important thing. A proper disciple, what he will do, whatever knowledge he has received from the spiritual master, he will convert that into his realizations. And for them, the bhakti, what they have towards their spiritual master, will be very beautiful bhakti. When a disciple receives spiritual knowledge from a self-realized soul, and when he translates that spiritual knowledge he has received into his own realizations, if you see his bhakti towards his spiritual master, that is a beautiful bhakti. It's not the bhakti what you see based on the body. Based on the body, sometimes it develops into business also. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. It becomes like that. Based on the body, it won't last. It won't last. Sooner or later, one will fall and go, or it will be complete, because body is temporary, you see. That's the problem. Any activity based on the body will not last. Doesn't matter, even if it is spiritual, if it is based on the body. Even if your activities may be spiritual, if it's based on the body, it won't last. That is why Krishna gives so much importance that the spiritual master must be realized, because only then it will have its effect on the disciple. It will have the effects on the disciple. And if the disciple also is quite capable and competent to get that knowledge from the realized soul and able to realize himself, and then there is a bhakti between that disciple and the spiritual master, and that will be very beautiful. It will look very nice. It won't be like the modern world, where everything has gone completely off the track. So, here, the important thing is, this what you find based on the body is totally sentimental. Totally sentimental. And sometimes, you will see here also, it just happened to be that happens all the time. Disciples are taking spiritual master to the court. Spiritual master is taking a disciple to the court. All this you are seeing nowadays, don't you? People, you have seen this happening all the time now. In other words, they're calling spiritual master and the disciple, but disciple is out to destroy the guru. Kill him actually. And the guru also senses that, and he is also organizing his things to protect himself from the... This disciple has become a burden for the guru, in other words. It's a thing what is going on in this world. So, if you start thinking guru is the body, you will give pain to the guru. There is no question. If you start thinking guru is just the body what you are seeing, you will give pain to the guru and you will give trouble to yourself also in the same way. So, similarly, Krishna also. If you start thinking Krishna is the body, and start going after the body, you will give pain to Krishna and you will give pain to yourself also in the same way. If you understand this principle, you can understand this verse. Which one? Avajanandi ma modha manushin tanimashridam. That verse is only to wake us up to the spiritual plane, not to keep us in the bodily plane. In the bodily plane, you can't have a spiritual life. We have to know that all the time. On a bodily level, how can you have a spiritual life? Body has come from the nature and body will go its own way. And you thinking that this body is everything and I am operating on that body level, thinking that I am executing spiritual life, it will not work. You just have to move on to the spiritual platform. That is what he is saying here. Guru, that is why three things. Guru is there, Krishna is there, the soul is there, individual soul. Atma, Guru, Ishwara. Guru, Atma, Ishwara. Therefore, they say, Ishwaro Guru Atmaiva Muti Bheda Vibhagina Vyomavad Vyapta Devahaya Dishnamote Nama. This is a famous verse in the Upanishads. It comes that Ishwara Guru Atma. Three things are there in the spiritual life, isn't it? We are there, spiritual master is there, Krishna is there. Krishna is Ishwara, Guru is the spiritual master, and we the Atma. So Ishwara Guru Atmaiva. they are all one. It is in three levels it's operating. Purushasya visheshada ishvaro guruvatmaiva murtibheda vibhaginam. If you keep on breaking them up, thinking that they are all these different bodies, we thinking I am this body, I'm thinking Guru is that body, I'm thinking Krishna is that body, and in that way, if I conduct my spiritual life, it will not go very far. That's what's happening. And you will see this in some places to extreme levels. That absolutely no understanding of the spiritual side of it, completely acting on the platform of the body. I'm thinking I'm this body, I'm thinking spiritual master is the body, I'm thinking Krishna is that body. We are supposed to see Krishna as Antaryami of everyone. That is the proper understanding of Krishna. As the super soul existing in everyone, in everyone's person. We are supposed to see the spiritual master as a manifestation of Antaryami inside us. His manifestation of that is the spiritual master outside. And we have to know ourselves that we are not this body, we are the soul inside. So, Ishwaro Guru Vatmaiva Murti Veda Vibhaginam. Murti Vedam Vibhagini Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dashinamurte Nama. Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya means like the space, it's present everywhere, isn't it? The space is present everywhere. Similarly, Krishna who is inside, he is present as Guru, he is present as Krishna, and he is present as Antaryami, and it is one and the same substance that's present in all these three things. So, same Vastu is present in three different forms. Atma, Guru, Ishwara. Guru, Ishwara. So one who has woken up to that reality himself, he will know that he is not this body. That means through proper studying Upanishads and studying Bhagavad Gita, one who has properly reflected that I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my enjoyment. All this requires constant analysis within oneself. And one who has come to that understanding that he is not this body. And he will know that spiritual master is also not that body. One who has realized to oneself that he is not the body, he'll also know that spiritual master is also not the body, and he will also know Krishna is also not that body alone, something more than that. Body is there to be worshipped, there is no question. It is not that it's completely rejected. In a certain stage, that is important. That does happen. That is why you see the worship of the form in the deity in the temple is considered to be third class spiritual life. Have you noticed that? Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? The worship of the form, any form in the temple as a deity form, is not the first class spiritual life. You can see that in the Bhagavatam. What does it say? Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotee. Who is that? He's not saying that. He's the one who is worshipping the temple. He's the one who sees Krishna's presence in all the living entities. So that itself is the proof. Secondly, what does he say? The middle class one. Ishware tad adineshu balisheshu dishat suja prema maitri kriba uvecha ya karodisa madhyama. The second class devotee talks about how he discriminates things. And in the last one, the third category is the one who is doing the worship at the temple. Archaya meva haraye. One who performs archana and worship at the temple. By saying this, not saying that it's condemning the deity worship, what it says is this, that from that puja stage, so he knows that Krishna is not just that form in the temple. Once you are moved away from that, he will know that Vastu is one and the same. The subject, object is one and the same. So, such a person who has understood these three things, what? Ishvara, Guru, Atma, Murti Bheda Vibhagina. There is no difference between the two. Vastu is the same. Krishna is soul. Guru is soul. We are also soul. So, where is the difference? And soul is soul. It is nothing you can, it is not matter where you can keep on changing it. It never changes. That's why he said Nasado Vidyade Bhava. By that verse alone, Krishna establishes that individuals is a soul. Spiritual master is soul. Krishna is also soul. We are all soul. And therefore, Ishwaro Guru Atmaiva Murtibheda Vibhaginam. If you don't break them up into, when you break up, it comes into the bodily level. That's what happens. Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya. Vyomavad, like the space, he is present in that form, he is present in another form, he is present in this form. He is present in the Krishna's form, he is present in the spiritual master's form, he is present in the individual's form. But Vastu, who is inside the individual, in the spiritual master, and Krishna is the same Vastu. They are not different. So, keeping that in mind, a person who has realized this, Krishna calls him as Mahalma. Such a person is called Mahalma. And so, not a person who thinks himself as the body. He is not a Mahalma. He is not a Mahalma. That's what he mentioned there. Avajanandi maam mudha manushim tanum ashridam. Tanu means body. Manushim sharyam. Manush, human body. Tanum ashridam. And parambhavam ajanandi. What is that parambhavam? Parambhavam is this. That seeing Krishna, spiritual master, and yourself totally on the spiritual platform. And then you are in spiritual life. But if you are thinking, I am this body, Guru is that body, Krishna is that body, and if I relate with all three in this way, that's not spiritual life. That will create a lot of difficulties. That is what Krishna is pointing out there. But you won't be able to understand Bhagavad Gita many things if you start thinking, I am this body, Krishna is that body, and spiritual master is that body. You cannot explain many things in the Bhagavad Gita. It's very difficult. So, therefore it is mentioned like this. So, so you can see here, once he, Krishna says, Parambhava Majanandam. Parambhava Majanandam means my superior nature. My superior nature, if he does not know that, in other words, my real Swarupam. What is Krishna's Swarupam? That's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? What is that? Tattvam yal jnanam advayam. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yal jnanam advayam. Brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavaniti shabdyade. Tattvajnanam is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna is knowledge. Krishna is not the form what we see. Krishna is the knowledge. That does not mean the form is rejected. You should not think it like that. When Krishna comes, you have to see Krishna. This is knowledge there, standing there. What is that Tattvajnanam? That Tattvajnanam's nature, Krishna Swarupam is knowledge. Krishna Swarupam is knowledge. So, that Tattvajnanam, what is spoken there, is Advayam. Advaya means there is no duality there, in there. There is no duality in that knowledge. And that Tattvajnanam is addressed as, by devotees as Bhagavan, by yogis as Paramatma, and jnanis as Brahmam. That is how that verse is mentioned there. So, what will happen is, without knowing this Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, one who thinks he is this body, what will he do? That's what he says there in the next verse, Mokhasha Mokha Karmanam Mokha Jnana Vichedasa. So, you can see the flow of one verse to another. One verse to another, how it goes. The effect of this Avajananti Maam Mudha Manushintanim Ashridam Parambhavam Ajanando Mamabhuda Maheshwaram. The result of that is Mokhasha Mokha Karmanam Mokha Jnana Vichedasa Rakshasi Masurin Jaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shrida. Krishna is saying like that, isn't it? So, in fact, you can see in the material life, all problems what we have, the root cause of all that is this ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya. because of this ajnanam, I am thinking that I am this body and therefore I am not able to know a spiritual master. Who the spiritual master is, I am not able to recognize. I am still thinking spiritual master looks very good, beautiful. He has got a nice kurta and a nice dhoti, and he has got his danda in the hand, he nicely clean shaven, nice shikha, and tilak is perfect. So I think, oh, my spiritual master looks very beautiful. If I start thinking like this, what kind of understanding is that? Imagine that. You can see how foolish we are ourselves sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes people have fallen into that trap to such an extent, they can't see anything else. Even if you tell them something, they take it very seriously, offensively. You tell them, if you relate with him in this way, oh, he looks so young, my spiritual master, such an early age he has become a guru. So, such a joke. The whole thing is such a joke that blind leading the blind, that is, isn't it? So what to say? So this show is going on in this world, and as I said, this field has become full of that now, and therefore it's becoming really a disaster. So, but here you can see Krishna is saying that in this particular case also, he is not able to know the spiritual master properly, what a spiritual master is. And because he is like that with the spiritual master, with me also, Krishna says, he sees in the same way. He sees the spiritual master as the body and relates with him. And he, with me also, he thinks I am this body and he relates with me in the same way. You see how things go wrong? Once we start taking spiritual master as the body and relate with him in that level, we will start dealing with Krishna also in the same way. We will think, oh, Krishna is standing there in the temple. Not seen him for a long time. Or we won't know anything more than that about Krishna, would we? In order to know Krishna in the proper way, that bodily identity has to move, give away. Has to give away. That's why Krishna mentions here that he's not able to know the spiritual master, he's not able to know about me, and he also does not know what is good for everybody else. And he thinks whatever is good for his body must be good for others as well. Suppose I like one sabji, he says the spiritual master also should like that sabji. It will go in that level. If I like halwa, Krishna, let spiritual master also have a kilo of halwa. Let him enjoy that. And then I'll say Krishna also can have some halwa. We'll also all enjoy halwa. And if I like sweet rice, Krishna, spiritual master also sweet rice. It'll all go in this direction. That is what he's saying here. And we'll, in that process, we'll even upset spiritual master's stomach and put him into trouble. But all this is all funny things what goes on here in the name of spirituality. We think this is all spiritual life, what we are doing. So where does this all come from? Because we think we are the body, spiritual master is the body, Krishna is also the body. So by thinking I am this body, Krishna says he is a mudha. Avajanandi maam mudha, he says. He is a mudha who is thinking he is this body. Manushintanim ashridam. So all of them who are situated in this body and mudhas think like this, Krishna says that they, what is the problem with those people? Because such people who are thinking themselves to the body, they have taken completely shelter of their body. Manushim tanum ashridam. You see that subtlety of that? Krishna is saying, those who are thinking they are this body, the difficulty with them is they have taken the shelter of that body. Once you have taken shelter of something, it is difficult to break that identity with it. You know that very well, don't you? That if you take shelter of anything in this world, your identification will be very deeper in that. And if you want to break that identification, it becomes more difficult. That is why in the second line, if you notice, Krishna says, Avajanandi maam mudha, then he says, Manushim tanum ashridam. Because you have accepted the bodily identity. Manushim tanum ashridam. Ashridam means to take shelter. You have taken shelter of the body, you have identified with the body, in other words. So they don't know any other truth beyond than the body. They don't know anything higher than that. Therefore, Krishna says, their mind is always absorbed in different desires. And Bhartrihari puts it nicely. He says their asha or desires goes in this way. He says, asha nama nadi manorata jalam trishna taranga kulam raga grahavati vitarka vihaga dhairya drumadhum sinim moha varta sudustaradi gahanat protungana chindatat tasya paragada vishuddhamanaso nandandi yogishwaraha. He says, Asha Nama Nadi. Asha Nama Nadi means that our desires, it is flowing. He compares that with a river. It's the best comparison, isn't it? Our Asha, our desires are like a river. And like the, when the water flows in the rivers, it creates a lot of foam and bubbles and everything. And in our desires also, it creates a lot of fantasies inside. Isn't it? A lot of fantasies inside. And it's also agitated. He says, Manorata Jala Trishna Trishna Tarangagula. And in this flow of this river of desires, which is continuously flowing there, there's a lot of very powerful waves, he says. And these waves are sometimes very powerful. They agitate inside the mind. And Raga Grahavati Vitarka Vihaga Dhairya Drumadhumsini. And the problem here is that due to our Raga Grahavati, Raga means attachment. Due to the attachments to various objects in this world, we become a prey in serving those desires, what we have created here in us. We become agitated by that. And Dhairya Drumadhvamsini, he says, what will happen is, it destroys your courage to go in the spiritual path. Because when the mind is totally disturbed with various thoughts and desires, and if it is agitating the mind a lot, what will happen to the person is, he will lose his strength, Dhairya Drumadhvamsini, that his strength to go in the path of spiritual life, it gets broken. This is Bhartrahari's statement. Bhartrahari was a famous personality in the court of Vikramaditya. There's a long story between Vikramaditya, Bhartrahari, Chanakya and all of them together. It's an amazing story that it is. How Bhartrahari came, Bhartrahari, Vikramaditya, Chanakya, they are all coming from the same father but under different mothers. A Kshatriya woman came Vikramaditya. A Shudra woman came Bhartrahari. Brahmana woman came Chanakya. That's how that connections are. It's a long story. We'll come to that later. So, from them, their Vikramaditya's court was very famous. Great, great scholars were present in that court. And they used to analyze spiritual life very threadbare in their discussions. So, Bhartrahari wrote so many verses, and one of the famous books Bhartrahari wrote was this Vairagya Shatakam. 100 verses to create Vairagyam, detachment inside. Because Vairagyam, without Vairagyam, we know Jnanam won't stay. Whatever you may study, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in order that knowledge to remain and change, Vairagyam is a must. That is why you will see in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, what does Krishna says? If you take into the first chapter, in the second chapter of the first canto itself, he mentions there that the that if you look at there, you'll see verse 12 in the second chapter. Tashraddhadana munaya yana vairagya yuktaya pashyandi almani chalmanam bhaktya shrutagrihitaya. Who saying this? Uddhava Goswami saying to Shaunagrishi, talking about vairagyam. You will see in that chapter so many things spoken. He says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojida. What is advantage of Bhakti Yogam? Janayadi Ashu Vairagyam. Vairagyam will come to a person. And the result will be Jnanam Jayada Ahaitukam. The knowledge that comes through that Vairagyam will be Ahaitukam. In other words, that Jnanam which is associated with Vairagyam will make a change inside a person's heart. That will change. This knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in order that to remain inside and to make the necessary impact on us, Vairagyam is necessary. That is why it's saying here, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yatha Haitukam. And then, after a few verses later, he says there, Tashraddhadana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Those who are with this Jnanam, Vairagyam, Bhakti, all three things are necessary. It's not that if you simply say, I have Bhakti, I don't want Jnanam, Vairagyam, that Bhakti won't stay. It is not possible. They are all together. So, Tashraddhadana Munaya Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. What will happen to him? Pashyandi. He will start seeing Almani Chalmanam. Within the soul, he will start realizing it. The spiritual realization will happen to him. Bhaktya Shrutagrihitaya. That his bhakti that has come Shrutagrihitaya. Through hearing that process, what has happened to him, the result will be that this Jnanam, Vairagyam, Bhakti will develop in that person. will develop in that person. So bhakti vairagyam is spoken from the very beginning. It's a part of the realization. Otherwise jnanam won't come. Jnanam will not stay. So for example, some people you can see this, how I want to say this, that they are studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam in the universities also, don't they? In big, big universities, they are studying that. But because there is no vairagyam in them, because they work for a salary and get the money from the government and they are teaching somebody, they are not doing it for spiritual purpose. It's a livelihood for them. So what happens? Vairagyam is not given importance. Only through the brain they have to give the information what they have received. They have studied the books. Whatever they understood, they have to give it away to others. So therefore, that vairagyam is not there, therefore their jnanam is also not there. Practically it won't have any effect on them. That's why after 30, 40 years they are teaching Bhagavad Gita, and if you ask him about the soul, he is still blank about it. He has no experience of it. Why? There is no vairagyam in them. So this is the difficulty. So these three things, you can't separate them out, he says here. So deep and difficult to cross, he says here. Mohavarta sudhasudha radhiganam prutungana chintadi tasya paragada vishuddhamanaso nandandi yogishwara. So the pure yogis, perfect yogis of pure minds, they cross this stage very easily. So Asha, as Krishna, as Bhartanidhi says there, it's a river flowing. And there is a wave there. What is that? Manoratham. Manoratham means, if you translate that in English, the right word is daydreaming. You know, people who do daydreaming? So many things they dream, and feeling happy about. The whole day they sit and dream about so many things, and they feel happy about that. So that's the situation. So if you are one is in that state, Krishna says, what all a person will imagine within himself. And suppose they put themselves, such prime minister or big businessman or whatever, and they are imagining something like that. Bhartrihari says, give up all this daydreaming and take to Krishna shelter. So that person is saying, how can I give up all these things? He says, I've got my palace built in marble. And I got the swimming pool there, built myself, and big gardens in my palace, and then the golden bed to sleep. And how can I leave all these things so easily? They're telling me like this. And if you ask him, where have you got all this? Oh, it's all in my imagination. It's all there. So similarly, you can see here, sometimes people sit on the front of the television, and you know, a lot of people are there. There are a lot of people who place stocks and shares, isn't it? So when their shares, what they have got the shares, when their prices go up, like when you take the ECG of a person, the graph goes up and down. Just like the share prices are going up and down, the ECG like also goes up and down in the same way. That is called that manoratham, mental chariot. People enjoy like this, isn't it? There are some people who have invested a lot of money in stocks and shares, and their life is this, watching the share prices and feeling happy about it. I've purchased so many shares at such good price, and I've sold it at such a high price. For many days, that's enough for them. They don't want anything else. Even if you don't give them prasadam, they don't care. They're just happy that they made a good kill from that shares. This is a people's life in this world. Can you imagine that? Where this is going to end? So, so they keep looking at the share market. And when it goes, like the ECG machine goes up, when it goes down, the other way also, BP goes up that way. The blood pressure. This is the way people are living in this world, and they are supposed to be the leaders of the society, and they are the ones who are responsible. So, and when everything goes wrong, they are in imaginary world they are living. They create an imaginary world like this. And if you really look at it, what has happened there? Nothing has happened, isn't it? Some prices have gone up, Share price have gone up, some paper prices have gone up, and some paper prices have come down. They are not selling the shares. They temporarily, they had a happiness. After a few months, if the shares go down, they'll experience the opposite thing also. This is a normal life with many people, isn't it? So that is what it is called, Manoratha Jala Trishna. In Manoratham, they are living in the world of the mind, and these desires are controlling them all the time. And any amount the shares go up, they are not satisfied. It should still go up further than that. So that is the seed of Asha Pasha. So, and in other words, severe attachment to all these illusory things. So not only that, and there are other crocodiles in this world, attachment, where you get attached to so many things. So in such a state, when one person is doing all these things, if he wants to escape from that, he came and sat in a satsangam, thinking that let me escape from all these things. But nothing will go in. You talk to him about the soul, Brahmam, Jivam, Jiva, Andaryami and all that. He will sit there blinking, what is this all being spoken about? That's what his situation will be. Because a little bit here, immediately you will start getting doubts inside. Doubts will start coming in. Vitarka vihagaha, that is why Bhartrihari says, Vitarka vihagaha. As soon as you hear something, he will start asking, how is that possible? How can it happen like this? Who says this is correct? I have not heard this before. And things like that, the mind will start working straight away. Because that mind is used to these share market waves going up and down. And you suddenly put him in front of Bhagavad Gita and you start telling him Bhagavad Gita says like this and all. He will ask, these are the people who ask hundreds of questions. Have you noticed that? Because they'll come and they'll start firing questions one after the other. I have 10 questions for you. He'll start telling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's not willing to hear anything. Why? Because inside is stock market running. Outside is all questions. So how Bhagavad Gita will work for him? Very difficult. Is it not? And they think that if I ask a lot of questions. See, I was so intelligent, I went and asked a lot of questions. Whereas everybody else was keeping quiet. Whereas I ask questions, you see. So I must be, a man who is asking is a very intelligent question. He brings you in spiritual life, it is not like that. If you are asking questions, that means it's not working inside properly. That's what it means. That's why you will not see anywhere asking questions, particularly in the tradition of the sages. They didn't encourage this process very much. So, So, his own, you can see, his problem there is his own intelligence has become his enemy. His own intelligence has become his enemy. Vitarka vihagaha. Instead of being peaceful, being very disturbed inside. And all the doors are closed for him to get anything inside. So, that situation will happen to him. And when that state comes, he says here, whatever little courage he had, little bit of courage he had, and when you see sometimes rivers are flowing with lots of water, when their banks rises, river banks rises in the winter season or when there is too much water coming, what it does is, all the trees that is standing on the river bank, it pulls them as well into the river. And in the power of that flow of water, the big trees that standing on the river bank that falls into the water and goes along with the river. Similarly, his little courage what he had in him to cross over this cycle of birth and death, because he has got involved like this, even that little courage, whatever little courage he had to take the spiritual life, that also goes along with that. So, Dhairya Dhruma Samsthiti. Suppose somebody has taken a little endeavor and to cultivate this mood of developing spiritually and to take interest in spiritual life, with a little courage he has built it up and came to the satsangam and sat there to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. If inside it is like that, it will be difficult for him to sit more than 5 minutes. He will get very disturbed inside. So it is at that time, you can see sometimes people have loses interest in spiritual life. And he will start talking to others and not take the message very seriously. So, and it's also possible that in such a situations that your mind will go back to the body again. You may be sitting in the satsangam, but your mind will go back to the body. And then what will happen? You'll start thinking, have I got blood pressure? Or have I got diabetes? Or have I got something else? All these thoughts will start coming back when you sit quietly. In the satsangam, you'll be sitting there, but the absorption will be completely in the body. Completely in the body. So that is where it says, Krishna is saying in these verses, in these 2-3 verses, Avajanadi Mamuda, Mokasha Moka Karmanam, and Mahalpanastu Mam Partha, all these verses are spoken only with one intention, never to fall into the platform of the body. To hear Bhagavad Gita on the platform of the body is not a good thing. We may be in the body, that may be so, that you can't help. But to stay in the platform of the body and to develop spiritually is not possible. Therefore, to be alert all the time, not to fall into the bodily platform, is why Krishna has spoken these things. It's only after that, the remaining verses, Krishna talks about the one verse for the sadhana and again going back to the knowledge side of it again after that. Only one verse he has spoken about the sadhana. So if you have fallen into the platform of the body, the whole purpose of satsangam is defeated there. Purpose of satsangam is defeated there. So, and because in the background, while listening, these thoughts will be keep coming, relationship with the body. Whether I got diabetes or whether I got blood pressure or I got something else, cancer, whatever that is, it will be keep coming back. Spiritual life means escaping from the body, not to give any more importance to the body. That fundamental understanding is necessary. Otherwise, whatever you may study, Bhagavad Gita on an intellectual level, it has no meaning. Realization will only come when you keep the body away from the message of the Bhagavad Gita. That is the principle behind it. And that is how all the commentaries of the Acharyas are written. It's only on that state this will have some impact on us. How to free ourselves from the grip of this, they call it the scorpionic grip of the body. It's like a scorpion who has bitten us. That's how the situation is. Acharya Swami mentions in one place, it's our mind is like a monkey. Mind is like a monkey it is. Suppose a monkey is drunk, how he will be? Already his monkey's mind, you know everybody, monkey mind we call it, isn't it? It think, looks like this, looks at that direction sometime. And then if he sees somebody, he pulls his face to him. Like this, he always in this way, that way. Suppose you give him some alcohol to drink. Once he get drunk, what will happen? Ajay Swami mentions, gives this example. It will be worse, isn't it? Now, added to that, if a scorpion has bitten that monkey, what will happen to him? He is already monkey. Then he has got this alcohol in his head. And then a scorpion is bitten. How he will behave in this world? It is exactly like that. The mind here. He says here, Dhairya Dhruma Dhumsini. So everywhere, that as long as you fall into the bodily level and start thinking in terms of the body, bodily thoughts will appear and take you away from the truth. And that virus, that it is a virus, that thing is a virus, and that is a virus of ignorance. Ajnanam. Mohavad Dustaram. So, you will get caught up, it's like a whirlpool. In that whirlpool, you will get caught up and get driven in that. You will be finding it difficult to escape from that. So, it's very difficult to cross over that river when it is going through this state. So, Tasyaha. Yogishwara, great yogis, they escape from this very easily because their inside is pure. The chittam is shuddham. So, Shuddham, that means that purity inside. Guru Vakyam, that means the words from the self-realized spiritual master. When you hear that, that immediately brings that chittam to that stable state. There is no more whirlpool. All thoughts goes away and becomes pure inside. And it only in that state, when one is peaceful inside, when spiritual master instructs the great statements of the Upanishads, it will have its effect on the person. Otherwise it will have no thing. So you can see this. Brahma says this in the Bhagavatam. If you look into Lord Brahma's prayers in Brahmastuti, you remember the 13th chapter on the 10th canto is Brahmastuti, isn't it? Brahma says to Krishna about self-realization. Brahma mentions this. He mentions there that that at one point he says that when, if you look into the verse itself, you'll see there that actually it is in the Garbhastuti, not in the Brahmastuti, in the second chapter, I think, Satyavradam, Satyavaram, that is the second chapter. There you will see, if you look into the verse 31, Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman bhavarnavam bhima madabhra sauhradaha bhaval padamboruhanavamatrade nidhaya yatra yata sadanugraho bhavan. Brahma came to see Krishna. Where? In the prison. And while Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, there is a prayer from Brahma to Krishna. That is called Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti means being within the womb, glorifying Krishna there. And this stuti, this prayers in the Bhagavatam is very famous. Very, very famous in the Bhagavatam. This famous, this stuti. Why it is so famous is, it is started on a very spiritual level. Highly spiritual level it started. If you look into the first verse itself, you will see Satyavradam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, Satyasya Yonim Nihitanja Satye, Satyasya Satyam, Hrita Satya Netram, Satyalmagam Tuam Sharanam Prapannaha. This is one of the amazing verses in the Bhagavatam. And if you look into the commentary on this verse, in the famous commentators, each word of Satyam there, they have given an explanation to that. And there were certain personalities in Vrindavanam who have spoken about this verse over a year period, just to explain this one verse. That is how much packed into that verse. Satyavradam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, Satyasya Satyam, Satyasya Yonim Nihitanja Satye, Satyasya Satyam, Hrita Satya Netram, Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Prapannaha. Brahma started with this verse, Lord, praying his respects to Krishna. Then he continued for a few verses, Ekayano Sodhipalastri Mula. We have discussed all this in the 10th canto, so we will not go in that. But when it came to this verse, what is that, 31? Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhavarnavam Bhima Madabhra Sauhradaham Bhaval Padamboruha Navamatrade Nidhaya Yata Sadanugraho Bhavan. It's a very interesting verse. Brahma says to Krishna that this spiritual life and self-realization is a very interesting thing. When we came first and we looked, we realized that it is not possible to realize the self. It's such a huge endeavor. Huge endeavor. This ocean of what they call as the samsaram, isn't it? Material existence is compared to a ocean, isn't it? Samsara sagar, isn't it? We'll say samsara sagaram. Sagaram means it's an ocean. The ocean is so big, while standing at the bank of the ocean, we looked at it and saw we will never be able to cross this ocean. They conclude, all these great personalities, he says. And so they all have built their own boat and they started crossing. When they have crossed a while, they have realized it, that this ocean doesn't exist. And when they looked, and what they did was, they left the boat, what they have used to cross, they left it on this bank for others to use it. Do you understand what it means? It means, when you came first time, in spiritual life, you started thinking it is difficult. The spiritual life is very tough and it's not going to happen to me in this life. In that way they started spiritual life. But when they got into the boat and they started crossing the river, after some time they realized there is nothing much to be done in spiritual life. All that is required is that I have to move away from the body and I have to know that I am the soul. When they realized that I am the soul, I am not the body, they started realizing which ocean is there to cross. There is no ocean to cross. You cross an ocean, you want to carry the body to the other side, isn't it? So you have developed some boat. What is that boat? Boat means different literature what they have created, like famous personalities, isn't it? Like Vilumangalam wrote Krishna Karanamritam. Similarly, Rupa Goswami wrote so many different books in their spiritual life, because their realizations, they wrote it in the form of books. Afterwards they realized they have already crossed the ocean. Why? Because the ocean has no reality. It's only an expression, but in reality there is no material life and spiritual life. There is only spiritual life. In ignorance, I'm thinking I'm leading a material life, I'm leading a spiritual life and all that. That is in ignorance I'm thinking. In reality there is no material life, there's only spiritual life. In my ajnanam, avidya, when avidya goes away, ajnanam goes away, then there is no material life. There is no cross, nothing to cross, nowhere to go. This individual, ourself, manifests in its own form. So it is in that kind of, bhavad padamboruha navamatrade nidhaya yada sadanugraham bhavan. When Krishna has given that realization to us, at that point, immediately it gets clear to us, there is nothing to cross, nowhere to go. Today we are thinking, what in our ignorance we are thinking, after leaving this body, I have to go back to the spiritual world, I have to do so many things there, so many understanding in our head. What Krishna is saying here is, when self-realization happens, as soon as I've realized the self, then there is nowhere to go because you have become the self. Only in ajnanam avidya, we have all the other perceptions in us. What is missing here is realizing the truth, not going back home, back to Godhead. That is a later thing. That is spoken in a way to get us, keep us interested in this, in the spiritual life. Because otherwise if we tell anybody that you will miss that, you will lose the interest. But so there is a goal spoken there. That Krishna also says that in the Bhagavatam. Bandho mukta idhi vyakhyam gunado mena vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Just like we talk about another spiritual, about going there and living there and all that, similarly liberation, bondage and all doesn't exist. In reality they don't exist. When there is ajnanam avidya in a person, they all exist. Once that goes away, nothing exists. That is what he is mentioning here. So they are saying, when they wanted to cross that river, and they came and they found that there was no river to cross. There was no river to cross as soon as they realized that it was only a mirage. And therefore, we are thinking that there is a lot of distress and troubles here. And just like a person who has woken up from his dream, for him, all the problems of the dream is gone straight away, isn't it? When a man, he was seeing the elephant coming to hit him. Or a leopard or a tiger coming to attack him in the sleep, and he is crying and he is suffering, or so many other problems he is experiencing the dream state. But as soon as he woke up from the dream and came to the awakened state, all the problems of the dream state is gone away. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that this river, what we are talking about to cross, is like that. So, but what is happening is mokhasha mokha karmanam. That mokhasha, that thoughts are taking us in different directions all the time. Different desires and different thoughts are taking us. And because there is desires, it's followed by action. Karma comes from that. What will happen is, if you have desire over desires, there will be karma over karma. It will be followed by one karma after the another. And it will keep on engaging us in some karma or the other. And mokha jnana vijayatasa. The result of this is, if you have mokhasha and mokha karmanam, what will happen is, the result is mokha jnana vichetasa. Mokha jnana vichetasa means whatever knowledge goes in, it will get broken up. It won't take its proper shape inside. Suppose we are studying Bhagavad Gita and Krishna is giving us some message seriously. When you have different desires inside and when you have different activities which are based on those desires in your life, then all the knowledge, the message that Krishna has projected through that will not come together inside. It will all be broken knowledge here and there. Bit of this, bit of that, bits and pieces of Bhagavad Gita will be inside. You see how what happens then? When you get bits and pieces of Bhagavad Gita, you will start picking up verses here and there. And you will say, for my preaching I need only these verses, other verses are not important. Then why Krishna has spoken all that verses? We will start breaking up Bhagavad Gita in that. Bhagavad Gita is one message to realize the self. Everything is a part of that. You can't reject or take away anything from that. So that shidhilam, shidhilam means it breaks up everything and it will become perverted inside. Rakshasi masurim chaiva prakriti mokinim shrida. So, so those who are not like that, Krishna says, those who have got that proper shraddha inside or that bhakti inside, and their nature is what Krishna has spoken in the next verse, what we have just discussed, which is that mahatmanastu mam partha devim prakriti mashrida bhajanti ananya manaso nyatva bhudhadim avyayam. So these three verses, avajanandi mam mudam, and then mokasha mokha karmano, and then the last one mahatmanastu mam partha, they are the three different scenarios in a person's spiritual life. The three different scenarios, what happens? If you are, first problem is avajanandi mamodha. We are in the bodily level all the time. Seeing I am the body, spiritual master is the body, Krishna is the body. Second one, if I am in that state, the result of that will be, I will have a lot of desires because I am in the bodily level. Mokhasha, mokha karmanam. And activities will also be based on this mokhasha. And it is like that, mokha jnana vichetasa. Even if you hear Bhagavad Gita, it will all be bits and pieces inside. No clarity will be there. It will not come together properly. Bhagavad Gita must bring us together, isn't it? It's the knowledge should work inside, and it will only work if this knowledge is together, everything in the Bhagavad Gita. So that will happen. Then Krishna is saying, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, if it is not like that, those who are in the Sattvagunam, and in that Sattvagunam, Devi Prakriti, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha, he will not be broken up and everything will work for him very well because his Prakriti is very divine nature he has got. So therefore, he will engage completely in spiritual life. His goal will be very clear. That means self-realization will be his goal. He will not allow anything else to disturb that state. Therefore, Bhajandi Ananya Manaso Yatva Bhudhadim Avyayam. So those three verses are important in this ninth chapter. We have to keep reflecting these things and keep that inside us. Otherwise, simply reading through verses is no good. All that verses are very profound messages to tell us. Krishna knows our problem very well, more than anyone else, because he is inside us, Antaryami, isn't it? Who else knows better than us, better than Krishna, about our problems? We ourselves don't know about us. Krishna knows better what our problem is. So therefore, he is telling us these different stages, what can come through in our spiritual life, and how important it is that Sattvagunam and that cultivation of spiritual knowledge in that way. So we'll stop there today. And temporarily, I'm going to stop these Saturday classes temporarily. It's not a permanent thing. Due to some situation, I have to go back and forth to India for a while. So hopefully, I'm thinking that when things are a little bit settled, we'll restart the classes on Saturday again. Until I go back to India, one or two Sundays maybe, I don't know how long, but I will continue the classes in City Center Point. And I have cancelled, I think we have cancelled the classes for the Christmas week, because I may have to go before than that. So whatever it is, forgive me for this break, but I'm helpless about it. I just have to go and do it. And if things comes together again, we'll restart the whole thing. We have a lot to discuss. We have got the whole of Ekadasha Skandam remaining, then the Bhagavad Gita remaining chapters. We also wanted to talk about some important prayers like the Dakshinamurti Stotram, Ekashlogi, Dashashlogi. There are many, many other interesting things which fixes a person on the realization of the soul, which helps a lot to come out of the bodily identity. Let Krishna give us the opportunity. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.